Pennsylvania's radio sports leader, WJPA Washington.
Good evening and welcome to President's Football Preview, heard prior to Washington and Jefferson College football here on WJPA. Tonight, the Presidents travel to Teal to take on the Tomcats, W&J winning handily over St. Vincent last week. I'm Mark Uriah, and we are going to talk to W&J head football coach Mike Sirianni. Mike, it seems like a lot of times this is sort of the way this first question comes out. You took care of business last week, I'm sure, the way that that you would have liked.
Not to complain about anything that we did. I mean, there's some things we have to, you know, sharpen up a little bit, but we scored on every possession. I don't even know if we gave up more than two or three first downs in the first half, so I really thought we were sharp in every aspect of the game. You know, there's some, like I said, we didn't run the ball in our inside zone the way we wanted to. That being said, it was more way they were doing. They were singling up our receivers and kind of daring us to throw the football, and we have two really good receivers, so if you're going to do that to us, we're going to take advantage of it. But we're very happy, got a chance to play a lot of people. Almost everyone out of our 160 players played this weekend because we had a JV game the next afternoon at Mount Union. So it was good to get everyone in because everyone had practiced over the preseason and the 4 weeks of camp. So it was really nice to get everyone some game action, whether it was a JV game or varsity game.
You mentioned about running the ball. Talk about that or other areas after you watched the tape, you thought, okay, these are things we can do better.
Yeah, I think that was partly how St. Vincent was playing us, but then again, I thought our second team offense line did a better job run blocking than our first team offense line, so that's something that we addressed. There were some adjustments that needed to be made on the offensive line that weren't made until halftime, and I think that's kind of a reason you saw a little bit more running the ball in terms of effectiveness in the second half. So that's something as a young staff who's together for the first time. Defensively, I mean, I hate to be picky, but we didn't cause a turnover. And that's something that in big games, obviously, we know we're going to have to win the turnover battle. I mean, we tied 0-0, but we didn't cause any turnovers, and that's something that we definitely want to strive to do on defense.
Your big concern, as is always the case in opening games, we talked about it last week, the unknowns. How much in the way of unknowns did you get? And I would assume that any that you got, you were able to handle.
I mean, in terms of our offense, I think that they did pretty much what we thought. I do think St. Vincent's going to be a good offensive football team. They're just young. I mean, they have a new quarterback who's a transfer. They have some new players at receiver and running back. So they just give them a time to get going a little bit. So they did some different things, but you know, our defense line is very good and was able to control the front, and that, obviously that's going to put you in a good position on defense.
Well, and John Sacco and I talked about that too. It was a tough matchup for them coming out of the gate with so much new on their end. Would have been a tough matchup for them if they're playing any of the top teams in the conference.
Yeah, and they do a good job, and they'll get better as the season goes on. They're a young football team, and it looks like they have recruited well. But after the game, we were more worried about us and what we needed to do to get better in this second week.
A stat that stood out defensively, they converted one third down in 13 attempts.
And that was a key thing component of the offseason that we talked about. If you look at our losses last year, you know, we were well overall, especially in the Grove City game, they were well over 50% converting on third down. So that's something that we talked about. So yes, we were very happy that we were able to get off the field on third down. If I remember rightly, I don't know, I'd have to see, but what was their only conversion, our 15-yard penalty at the end of the game? If that was the case, then we were extremely, extremely successful.
And this is to be expected. I don't want to sound like I'm picking on Jake here, but you know, again, early in the game, maybe he wasn't as sharp as he was later in the game. But again, first game out of the gate, that's almost to be expected.
Yeah, he missed a couple throws early that, you know, he'll make. I mean, honestly, if you look at his six incompletions, he could have been 24-24. I mean, you know, they were open and we just didn't deliver the ball. Or I think we dropped one. But, you know, he's tough on himself, but you can't really complain. Four touchdowns, almost 400 yards in total offense. He ran for two. He's in great command of our offense, and it was a good start for him.
Individually, anybody I have impressed anybody impress you, but anybody maybe surprise you in with their play, at least in a positive way?
Well, I was pleasantly surprised with how well our second unit on offense in the offensive line played. I thought they did some really good things. I thought our inside zone, which is our number one run, was much better. And because St. Vincent didn't sub, they played their first team defense in the second half, and I thought our run blocking for our inside zone was much better. So those guys up front deserve some credit, and we held some of our good freshmen out knowing that they were going to play the next afternoon. So we were able to, it was more all guys that were back that maybe I wasn't sure we're really second team. Maybe I thought maybe, hey, this freshman's better, but I'm going to let the freshman play tomorrow. And those guys played well up front.
More with Mike Sirianni on President's Football Preview when we come back on WJPA right after this.
Hi, this is Attorney John Patricic, and I've been your hometown attorney for nearly 30 years. Whether it be family law, the preparation of wills and powers of attorney, or the administration of an estate, I'm ready to assist you. I also represent clients on real estate matters, including oil and gas, local government issues, contract disputes, and civil litigation, including personal injury. If you're looking for an experienced attorney, I have offices in Bentleyville and Washington. Call 724-239-2330 for a free consultation. Go Presidents.
Back on President's Football Preview here on WJPA, W&J getting ready to take on Teal tonight on the road. We're talking with President's Head Football Coach Mike Sirianni. Mike, let's talk about Teal. They won three games last year, which was the most for them since 2016. So that's not to be ignored.
No, and I think that they're doing it the right way. I mean, they're playing JV games. They're getting their roster up there. They play hard all 60 minutes. And I mean, it's going to be crazy to see because people are going to look at last week's score and like, well, you know. But they are a good defensive football team. They, you know, Carnegie Mellon had 58 points but only had 300 yards offense. That's got to be some type of record. I mean, to have that many points but only have 300 yards offense. They are a good defensive football team. Their defense, their front three out of their four are back, and they're going to present us with a challenge, especially with our offense today.
Well, and you went down the sort of the road of my next question. You talked about CMU with the number of yards and the number of points. First possession for Teal, bad snap on a punt. Second possession, lose a fumble on the ensuing kickoff. So the first two drives, Carnegie Mellon starts at Teal's 7-yard line and then 13-yard line. Tough to beat anybody when you have those types of mistakes, in particular a team as good as Carnegie Mellon.
Oh yeah, of course. And then if you look deeper into it, I'm sure they'll make this adjustment. They hit the up back in the pump formation twice inside the 10-yard line in the first half. I mean, so there's half their scores right there. And so, you know, I know it's going to be, you know, people are going to think this is the Saints heel. It's not. They have recruited well. They have some good players. They have a very athletic quarterback. I'm sure you always talk about between weeks one and two, you're going to make that big jump. I'm sure that they're talking about that. I'm sure that they're talking about if they can just eliminate their special teams miscues, they could be in games. And they were in games at the end of last year. So they 100% have our attention.
Yeah, a couple of things, and again, you touched on it, but two guys in particular, Luke Faber, Chad Morningstar on their defensive line. That's the strength of their defense. And you talked about wanting, you know, maybe not being as good with the run last week. This is a team defensively that averaged only 3.6 yards per rush last year.
Yeah, they are very good in their interior, and they are going to present us with some problems. They stunt almost every single play in an effort to take away your inside run game, and, you know, that's something that we want to continue to get better at. So we're going to have to find a balance of, you know, taking our one-on-one matchups, which obviously we're comfortable doing, especially with the talent that we have at our starting two receivers, but and in trying to establish a running game.
Also, three seniors on their offensive line. You know, when you're trying to build as they are, that's a good place to start to have guys with experience and be leaders.
Yeah, and they, you know, you could tell that they're getting better. They didn't get a lot of opportunities. They got behind so quick last week that, you know, it kind of took them out of their game plan. But you could tell it's a veteran group and they have a athletic quarterback that they're trying to get off to a good start.
What concerns you about this game tonight? What has kept you up at night?
The fact of last week's score of the Carnegie Mellon Teal game and people seeing that and be like, oh my gosh, you know, this is going to be a cakewalk. You know, that score, I mean, I don't want to say deceptive, 58-0's 58-0, but there were so many mistakes on Teal's part that they can clean up just by a good week of practice. We're going to have to execute offensively. We're going to have to, you know, I hope we can maybe cause a couple of their mistakes. I think Carnegie Mount did cause some of their mistakes in terms of their punt rush, so maybe we can take advantage of that. But just knowing that that score is very deceptive, and I thought this would be a tough game going in, and we still think that.
All right, Mike, thanks a lot. Good luck.
Thank you.
Mike Sirianni on President's Football Preview, W&J getting ready to take on Teal tonight. New offensive coordinator Sean Glossick will join me when we come right back.
For 125 years, Washington Financial has been covering this region's financial needs, sharing your rebellious spirit, standing right here with you, supporting your dreams, helping businesses grow and thrive, investing in what matters, and always putting people first. Thank you for letting us get to know you over our first 125 years. We're Washington Financial, and we're proud to be the bank that gets you. Learn more at washfin.bank. Washington Financial Bank, member FDIC.
Sexual violence doesn't discriminate based on race, gender, orientation, age, or ability. We encourage you to say no more to this crime by believing survivors and changing the culture in your school, your workplace, and your community. Find out how you can be the change by contacting the Care Center STARS program at 724-229-5007. That's 724-229-5007.
Back on President's Football Preview, we are going to talk to new offensive coordinator Sean Glossick. Sort of new, sort of old. You took a one-year detour. Just talk about what the last 2 years have done for you.
Right. So my first time in W&J, I started back in 2020, right during COVID. And then, you know, hung on for a little while, was here until 2022. And then at the end of the 2022 season, I received a job offer down at Valdosta State down in Georgia, Division II program, and I was very, very fortunate to be a part of a great staff and a great team. We ended up at the Elite Eight, which was playing football in December, so always a really good thing. So was able to do that, and then that following January rolls around, so this would be January 2024. I received a job offer to be the offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach over at Ohio Northern University in the OAC. And I did that for the spring, and I loved every second of it. There's a lot of really, really good people over at Ohio Northern. But then, you know, later on in the summer, I got a phone call from my old boss who was in the market for a coordinator all of a sudden, and then one thing led to another, and, you know, returned to my home roots back here at W&J.
All right, I have to bring this up because we talked about it a couple of years ago when you were here, and I have to credit Steve Spence, who is still on the staff, with this quote. He said, being offensive coordinator under Mike Sirianni is like being offensive coordinator under Steve Spurrier. So I asked you that before, and I'm sort of going to ask it again, and because Coach Sirianni obviously is known as an offensive coach. This is his offense. So the OC may not, for lack of a better way to put it, may not have as much power, I guess, as maybe somewhere else, as particularly if the head coach is a more defensive-minded guy.
Sure.
But just talk about your role in this offense.
So I think Coach and myself do a great job of communicating and understanding that, like, it is a group effort. Yes, obviously he is, you know, the record speaks for itself. He is heavily, heavily involved in the offense. But I do think he allows me to put my own spin on some certain things, and there's some things he likes and some things he doesn't like at times. And, you know, but at the end of the day, I think we do a great job as an offensive staff of just making it a group. Like, we are all in this together, and, you know, one of us succeeds, we all succeed. And as far as game day is concerned, like, me and him are working together a lot, but, you know, at the same time, he also allows me to do some of the things that I like to do, and like I said before, he doesn't allow me to do things that sometimes he doesn't want to necessarily do. And you know, it's a partnership. And we've obviously had a lot of familiarity with one another. We've worked together before, had a lot of success together, and hopefully that continues throughout the rest of 2024.
One thing that you brought up earlier, and I think it's worth talking about, you know, people probably don't understand this, and I know you'll be able to explain it. It's game day. It's in the middle of the third quarter. You're looking at third and eight,
mm-hmm.
and you call a time, for whatever reason, you call a timeout, and people probably think that whatever play you call is based on the discussion that happens during that timeout. And while I'm sure that's part of it, talk about what goes on during the week that prepares you for those moments.
Right. So, like I said before to you off the air, it's kind of built into our call sheet. We try to go through every single situation throughout the week that could come up in a game. Everything you can think of, from, you know, backed up on the goal line to the middle of the field to it's third down and we need a play. And the nice thing is, the way we do things is we are always, you know, prepared. We discuss these situations that come up throughout the week, and it's like, okay, well, they play this on, and they have a tendency, excuse me, to play this at this certain time in this particular situation. How do we want to attack it? And that is how we will go about doing so. So really, yeah, the decision is made full go in the moment, but at the same time, it's for what, like, we talk about it throughout the week. Like, we have a pretty good understanding. All right, well, it's third and eight. We just called timeout. We're at this part of the field and this part of the game. Yeah, this is the play.
Well, and it may be a choice of a handful of plays that you've discussed during the week.
Sure, sure. You don't want to show all your hands at the same time, but in a particular spot, we have multiple plays ready for specific situations as well.
And that can be even as detailed as to which hash mark the ball is on.
Correct, correct. We have left hash play calls and we have right hash play calls. And, you know, a lot of it comes down to how can we create our best matchups with our players. And you're well aware, we are very, very talented at the receiver position. And that kind of falls into that particular, like, how do we, Paduzzi has 8 catches today and McCosko only has 4. How can we get him a little bit more involved? Because they're both such dynamic players, and any way we can get those kids the ball, we'll do it.
I think it is to be expected that you are not going to be super sharp in the first quarter of the first game of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's reasonable to sort of allow for that. And we saw a little bit of that last week, but clearly things got sharper as the game went on.
Sure, sure. Anytime there's a new season and there's some fresh faces out there, we were very, very fortunate to be senior heavy. But at the same time, there were some guys who were getting their very first start. And I think part of it is, you know, working some nerves out, the butterflies are rolling in the stomach, but at the same time, I think, you know, the kids eventually settled into the game, saw the task at hand and went out and executed like they know how to do, and I'm very, very proud of them.
Last question, and hopefully I'm sure we'll talk more as the season goes along to talk about other things, but mm-hmm. I just want you to preview Teal, talk about what you've seen from them, on defense, and what maybe those either attending the game or watching or listening can maybe what we might expect from them defensively tonight and how you attack it.
Right. So I'll first off be saying Teal is very different than the last time I played them in 2022 when I was here. Their defensive line is very, very good. They're very senior heavy. There's three starters are seniors on the defensive line. They do a lot of different stuff. They stunt, they twist, and then in the back end, you know, they play a lot of different coverages and a lot of different types of things to throw us off. And if, you know, if we're not on our P's and Q's, as some might say, it's going to be a long day. But at the same time, if we go out there and we execute and we do what we're supposed to do, and handle our business, I think we should be okay.
All right, Sean, thanks a lot. Good luck tonight and throughout the year.
Thank you.
Sean Glossick, President's Offensive Coordinator. Dawson Dietz will join us for our final segment of President's Football Preview on WJPA when we come right back.
From Evergreen Personal Care Homes, here's Nicholas Hall.
Nowadays, personal care homes aren't like what they used to be 15 years ago. They were called homes. And once you went there, you didn't come back. Our goal is to take care of your loved one, provide skilled occupational therapy, physical therapy, get them doing the best that they can do, and it's always an option to go home if it's appropriate. You can get all your services completed, home health, hospice, physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech. We can do it all in-house. Evergreen's able to provide a well-staffed, above-staffed environment with highly educated, highly trained staff. It's nice to have a small to mid-sized facility, and all that equates to taking care of your loved one and making sure they get what they need. The easiest way to get a question to us is on our website, evergreenassisted.com. You can look at pictures from each location. You can read real-life testimonials, and the contact numbers are on the website, evergreenassisted.com.
Back on our final segment of President's Football Preview, we are going to talk to defensive lineman Dawson Dietz. Dawson, a couple of things. You have a chance to become a three-time All-American, and I can name great player after great player who has come through W&J, and no one has ever done that. Has that crossed your mind? Anybody brought it to your attention?
Yeah, definitely. I think about it. I try not to think about it too much. This year specifically, I want to focus on the team because this is my senior year. We haven't won a PAC championship yet, but being a three-timer would definitely be something interesting. Would love to get it, but don't want to focus all of my efforts on that, more so as a team effort to try and win the PAC this year.
Justin Johns was here last week, and he talked about, and I don't want to dwell on last year too much, but he just talked about how difficult it was for the team to recover from the Grove City loss. And I don't really want to, it's not so much about that same subject as it is, you know, you talked about, you know, your last chance to win a PAC championship. Just talk about maybe the mental approach or the attitude compared to the latter part of last year versus how you start this year fresh.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if we took it for granted last year or whatever, but towards the end of last year, after we pretty much knew our PAC championship goal was out of the air and just didn't feel like we could get any more, it just kind of dwindled down a little bit, didn't feel like everyone was there the whole way. But now, I mean, it's everyone's, I mean, there's a ton of fifth years, it's their last year, a bunch of seniors, their last year. It's just, like, we have to go. If we're going to do it, it's got to be now. And just stay focused, and no matter what happens, stay focused the whole year and keep pressing towards that PAC championship.
You mentioned stay focused. There are bigger games down the road. Does that make it, how hard is it to focus on the week-to-week basis versus looking down the road at maybe games that might be more impactful?
I think it's important to take it one game at a time. Make sure, I mean, some of these games are obviously might be a little bit easier on us, but focus on them because any slip-up could destroy our season, and just focus each week and whenever the more important games, probably lock in a little more and focus a little harder on those games. And really, I mean, the work now is going to lead to winning games in the future too, so can't really, like, slack off any days of the week, you know.
Just talk about last week, the team's performance last week, and, you know, the cliche is always a team improves the most from week one to week two. But just talk about last week and where you feel like you're going this week.
Yeah, last week was a great performance offensively and defensively. We could got into the end zone pretty much every time we could on offense. Defense held them up to 0 points until the last drive of the game. I thought the defense played really well. We didn't get any turnovers, no sacks, but I know that everyone wanted to, and it was a lot of close calls, so I think that leading this week, that's what we want to get accomplished, more sacks, more turnovers, get the ball in the defense's hand, get better field position for the offense and that.
Before we started, you made a comment about not getting maybe as many snaps as you would have liked last week.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of what you hope for, because that means you're beating on a team pretty good, but, you know, it's... Love playing football, so any chance to stay out there is always great. But
particularly in your final year.
Yeah, of course. But
yeah. Let's talk about Teal this week. Another team that, quite frankly, you guys have handled relatively easily in not only in your years here, but for most of the history in modern history between these two schools. Talk about what you saw from them, at least last week. You know, you're kind of going in a little bit unknown. I know that's one of the things Coach Sirianni was concerned about. A little bit less of the quote-unquote unknown this week, in that you have at least 1 week of game tape to watch.
Yeah, like last week, there was a whole new offensive coordinator, so it was completely different. And this week, they again have a new offensive coordinator, but we at least got to see one game of film, which was nice. And they like to widen it out a little bit, get around, like, outside of the tackle, run the ball, and that. And so it's going to be a fast game. They're trying to get the ball outside, so it's going to be a lot of open field tackling stuff, but I think we should be good. I have a lot of trust in our corners and linebackers and everything, and I just hope that the quarterback can hold on to the ball long enough for me to get there too, so we'll see.
You mentioned coordinators, kind of a lead into the departure of Vince Lavara and now Phil Bobich taking over as DC. Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, it was unfortunate to see Coach Lavara leave, but Coach Bobich has been amazing. It's just everything and better. Been leading us great. He's got, like, it's just the energy on the team has just been crazy since he's been there, and everything's been awesome, and the play calls have been just sweet. It just feels like we got a lot of, like, freedom, and we can do what we want, and just feels like as a team we've been performing very well.
I'm sure we talked about this last year, but given that this is your final year, maybe your future has come into focus a little more in the last 12 months or so. Talk about what you plan to do after you leave W&J.
Yeah, so this past summer I interned with Ryan Holmes Construction Management, and I haven't got a job offer yet, but I'm looking forward to hopefully receiving a job offer and working in construction management or maybe a project manager job in the future.
All right, Dawson, thanks a lot. Good luck today and throughout the year.
Thank you very much.
Dawson Dietsch, President's defensive lineman. That will do it for President's Football Preview today. W&J and Teal kickoff coming up shortly here. We'll have it for you here on WJPA back in just a minute.
Washington Drug and Alcohol Commission's brand new state-of-the-industry center of excellence is operational and issuing a warning to all residents of Washington County. Never use alone. The COVID pandemic has precipitated an increase in overdose deaths. In recent death reviews, many victims are discovered after using alone. Narcan cannot be administered by the victim, so it is critical that users have someone with Narcan nearby in case of an accidental overdose. If you use any drug or have friends or family members who do, visit our website at wdacinc.org to request a free Narcan kit. We are the most experienced and trusted resource in the county. Washington Drug and Alcohol Center of Excellence can be reached 24/7 by calling 833-888-0467. Never use alone. And call for help today at 833-888-0467.
Good evening from Greenville, Pennsylvania. Alumni Stadium, Stover Field, here on the campus of Teal College. Tonight, WJPA Sports Network getting set to bring you Washington and Jefferson College football as the Presidents take on the Teal Tomcats. W&J a winner a week ago in the opener against St. Vincent. The Tomcats shut out by Carnegie Mellon 58-0 last week. W&J's 59-6 win against St. Vincent. Three games already in the books in the President's Athletic Conference today. Carnegie Mellon 41-7 win against Geneva. Westminster 23-10 victory over Waynesburg. And St. Vincent traveled to Meadville and beat Allegheny 41-20. Our game and one other on the docket tonight at 7 o'clock kickoff in Cleveland, where Case Western Reserve is hosting the Bethany Bison. Grove City is off this week. Carnegie Mellon now at 2-0 in the league. Grove City, W&J, Case Western, and now Westminster all at 1-0. Allegheny is 1-1, along with St. Vincent. And point flip, Teal won the toss, deferred, and W&J will take the ball. Bethany and Teal are both at 0-1. Geneva and Waynesburg have dropped to 0-2. W&J travels to Waynesburg next week. Of course, the big news in the conference at the head of the week, the announcement that once again Carnegie Mellon is leaving the President's Athletic Conference. Their associate membership for football will end at the end of this football season. They They are heading to the Centennial Conference. Exited the league back in following the 89-90 academic year. Needed the conference's help a number of years ago in terms of affiliation for football, and the conference readily agreed to that, and now the Tartans have said, we're going to leave again. So off they go. WJ will host Carnegie Mellon in a PAC game at the end of the month, September 28th. And, of course, we'll have that for you here on WJPA. Tomcats with the ball teed up, and it's a knuckling kick bounding down the middle, picked up on the hop at the 29-yard line. It's Cernuto up over the 40 and out to about the 43-yard line. Check that. It is Kevin Tomlinson, the tight end out of Riverview, with the return. WJ will start first and 10 at its own 42-yard line. Outstanding performance a week ago from Jake Pugh, 18 of 24, 362 yards, 4 touchdowns, and no interceptions. Single back with Pugh, calls for the snap, hands it off, running left side, Kobe DeRosa across midfield, looking for somebody to run into, and DeRosa picks up about 12, maybe 14 on the run, right over the left tackle. DeRosa, better than 4 yards a carry last week. The ball to the 43-yard line, so picks up 15, and the president, no surprise, right back at the line of scrimmage. DeRosa trying to go around the left end, strung out nicely, and shoved out of bounds. Peduzzi kept looking to set a block, but he didn't want to reach out and get the call for holding, and DeRosa ends up with no gain on the play. Carry for 15, and now one for no gain. Second down and 10 at the Teal 43. Roll out, pass to the near sideline is too tall from Pugh. When it's too tall for Jacob McCosko, probably too tall for anybody on the W&J roster. Ball just too high from Pugh. Unable to make the grab, so now it's third and 10. Three receivers bunched this way. Zach Seaman on the line, the middle of the three. Pugh looking left, now looks back to his right, wants to dump the ball off, sideline pattern, pass is caught, and out of bounds is Seaman with the grab and the first down. Good job by Pugh to stay shy of the line of scrimmage. Present at the ball to the 23, so 20 on that completion. Seaman's first grab of the year. On the keeper, he'll throw, settle down in the middle of the field, pass is caught inside the 10, down to about the 8-yard line. It's McCosko with the grab, and another first down. Put the ball at the 8, that's a 15-yard pickup. First and goal at the 8. Pugh, hands off, DeRosa following the big guys up front, stiff arm, heading for the pylon, tiptoe, stick the ball toward the end zone, and he's into the end zone before being forced out of bounds. Presidents go less than 2 minutes, and they go 58 yards for the score. 13:06 to play in the opening quarter, and the Presidents on the board. Converting a third and 10 and going quickly from there, 20, 15, and 8 yards to the end zone. DeRosa's second touchdown of the year on the ground, and it'll be Ricky Hunter to attempt the PAT. Snap, hold, kick, all good. 13:06 to play in the first. WJ 7, Teal nothing. Kickoff on the WJPA Sports Network when we come right back.
Hi, this is Attorney John Patricic, and I've been your hometown attorney for nearly 30 years. Whether it be family law, the preparation of wills and powers of attorney, or the administration of an estate, I'm ready to assist you. I also represent clients on real estate matters including oil and gas, local government issues, contract disputes, and civil litigation including personal injury. If you're looking for an experienced attorney, I have offices in Bentleyville and Washington. Call 724-239-2330 for a free consultation. Go Presidents.
The United Way of Washington County has a new free resource. It's called Volunteer Connection. It pairs people who want to volunteer with nonprofit organizations in need of help. Visit volunteerwashco.org. Local nonprofits can post volunteer opportunities, whether it be for single-day events or long-term positions, with links for individuals or groups to respond and get involved. Visit volunteerwashco.org. Sponsored by Range Resources, hosted by United Way of Washington County.
Campbell with the ball teed up, puts the foot to it, drills this kickoff deep back to about the 2-yard line over near the corner, and the return out across the 10, bogged down shy of the 15-yard line. And it is Tarver on the kick return, Marquise Tarver, and he does not get to the 20-yard line. The ball at the 15-yard line for the Titans, or excuse me, the Tomcats. Daniel Rennie. 19 completions a week ago, but just 73 yards through the air. First and 10, hand the ball off, play strung out. Trying to find a turn-up lane is Deion Logan. Logan is going to be dragged down right around the line of scrimmage. The gain of the length of the football, but that did no gain officially. Second down and 10. Deion Logan, a 5'10 senior out of Richmond, Virginia. Blake Joseph with 5 catches. Stone with 6 a week ago, but not a whole lot of yards for either one. Second and 10. Rennie hands it off. Logan makes a man miss at the line of scrimmage and worms his way forward for 4, maybe a hair more than that. And we'll put it right at the 19-yard line. So Logan, 2 carries, netting out at 4 yards for the Tomcats. 3 minutes gone in the opening quarter. WJ with a 7-0 lead, and now the defense trying to get a stop. 2 wideouts to the near side. Stone, the wider of the two. And looking for Stone. Pass up the near sideline is on the back shoulder. It's caught by Ryan Acosta, and he's taken out of bounds, out across the 40-yard line. Acosta with the catch and a first down for the Tomcats. Brandon Brown, check that, Olamino in on the coverage, the completion going to count out to the 46-yard line, to 27 on the grab by Acosta. Tomcats set up in the midfield area. First and 10, Rennie hands to Logan, trying to go wide right. Put in the ground and cut it straight up the field and picked up about 5, maybe 6. Spot the ball back at the WJ 49, so 5 yards for Logan. Tomcats trying to answer the quick WJ score. He has not been in the end zone yet this year. Second and 5, the WJ 49. Logan again got out of contact in the backfield. It wasn't solid contact, but got off of that. And Logan carries forward for 4. Third and short for the Tomcats. Ball at the WJ 45-yard line. Logan 11 carries, a little better than 4 yards pop last week. little less than four per carry here this evening so far. Four carries for 13 yards. He has all of the rushing yardage. Stone, top of the formation, sophomore out of Chester, and now motion by Joseph, putting three that way. Running play, Logan strung out. The president is not fooled by all that motion. Four guys out front to drop Logan for a loss of a couple of yards back to the 47-yard line. Tomcats at the line of scrimmage to go for it on fourth and three. Hard count and then hand fake by Daniel Rennie. That's not supposed to be legal. Now the skill players all stand up, stare at the sideline. Play clock down to 10. Logan resets to Rennie's right-hand side. Fourth down and three. Rennie rolls right. Pass to the sideline. It's caught at the W&J 40-yard line. And stepping out of bounds, there is Jason Stone. The Tomcats convert a fourth down. Stone's first catch of the day. Going to be spotted out of bounds at the 41, so a gain of six. Daniel Rennie, two for two passing. Seventh catch of the year for Jason Stone, that 6'4 target, product of Chester High School. 9:05 to play first quarter. W&J leading Teal 7-0. 10 on the play clock when Rennie gets the signals from the sideline. He's going to get to the line quickly, and now head coach Sam Bauman's third year says, let's take a timeout and not to look like what Pitt did often today on first down, taking penalties that put them behind the sticks. Speaking of Pitt, last word we have late in the fourth quarter. West Virginia up 34-31. Pitt with the football with about 2 minutes to play. West Virginia leading 34-31. We'll keep it here. The timeout for the Tomcats comes at the 8:57 mark here in the opening quarter. Great to have you along. Our coverage brought to you by attorney John Patrici. Nearly 30 years of experience gives your case the attention it deserves. Washington Financial Bank, for 125 years, proud to be the bank that gets you. And Evergreen Personal Care Homes in Washington, Waynesburg, and Morgantown. Online at evergreenassistance.com. Teal first and 10 at the W&J 41-yard line. Four-man president's front. Motion to the near side. Comes Stone. Pass quickly to Stone with the receivers out in front blocking. Stone strung out and held up to a gain of about 4 yards on the play. Keith Hall in on the stop, and that noise is apparently a wireless microphone that is driving the fans and probably you at home a little batty, and I know it's bothering me, but power through. Daniel Rennie, 3 for 3 through the air to start. That's the shortest of the three completions. 4 yard pickup, second grab by Jason Stone. Two to the right, one to the left. Pass play on a fake. Nice reach around to knock the ball away from Stone. Justin Johns, I believe, with the defense that pass play. So now third down and six to the tight. Already with one fourth down conversion. Base third and six to 37. Two receivers wide, but in near the formation. Pass across the middle is caught. The tackle made, but to grab Blake Joseph's going to get a first down. Avery Keith in on the stop. The ball at the W&J 29-yard line. Tomcats third first down on the possession. First catch for Joseph. First and 10 at the 29. Running play designed to come to the near side. Jammed up right at the line of scrimmage. Logan was forced to make another step wider because there was penetration. Logan is taken down at the line of scrimmage. 11 snaps offensively for Teal to this point. Second down and 10 at the WJ 29-yard line. And lose most of that, what we in the business call nap sound. I'm going to turn that most of the way down. And goes in motion. That's Acosta. Takes a little flip, strung out, and in all kind of trouble, and just gobbled up completely by Avery Keith. Acosta will get credit with a reception and a loss of 6 yards. Keith just obliterating that play. Now, third down and 16 for the Tomcats. 6:20 to play opening quarter. Drive has already chewed up 7 minutes by the time the Tomcats snapped the ball. Trying to answer the WJ touchdown that took less than 2 minutes. Third and 16, movement on the O-line. First penalty of the game against the Tomcats. False start. That's going to be on the right guard, Chris Slavin, a 6'3 senior. Take the ball back out to the 40-yard line. So third and 21 now for Teal. Third down and 21 at the W&J 40. Forced out of the pocket. Daniel Rennie throws on the run. Has the man open. It's Joseph who hits pretty quickly. He's going to pick up about 9 on the reception and bring up fourth down and 12 for the Tomcats. Good work there to keep the play alive. Tomcats get right to the line of scrimmage. Bring Joseph, who's trying to get everything put back together uniform-wise. Fourth down and 12 at the WJ 31-yard line. Game clock down to 5:15 here in the first. Play clock has 12. Joseph making his way to the far side. And now everybody's set. Fourth down, and it's going to be a little pooch punt. Ball going to carry inside the 5-yard line, and it looks like it's going to be downed at the W&J 1-yard line. Daniel Rennie with the quick kick. Now the question is going to be, did the man who downed it get out of the end zone? He ran past the ball, went into the end zone, and then downed the ball. The question is this going to be a touchback? Because did he reestablish out of the end zone? And the answer is going to be yes. Actually, they put the ball out at the 3-yard line. I'm not sure why that is. And they're going to say it was first touched at the 3 and kept there. So a 28-yard punt by Rennie. And WJ is pinned deep. But leading 7-0. A 28-yard punt. Single back behind Jake Pugh. Two receivers wide left and a slot that way as well. Pugh looks down the middle and now rolls to his right and will run with it. He's up over the 10 and out to about the 14-yard line and will pick up a first down. And now a flag late from the center of the field. Jake McCosco got knocked down the field, and the indication may be hands to the face. It's going to be a dead ball personal foul against Justin Logan of Teal. So the run out to the 14, good for 11 and a first down, and now the personal foul will add another first down. Bring the ball out to the 29-yard line just like that. Two penalties on Teal has certainly hurt their cause. Few keeps. Now we'll set and throw. Receiver beyond the coverage and the pass to Peduzzi just beyond him. Incomplete. Pugh rolls out to his left. And there's a penalty flag, an eligible man downfield. Tomcats will take the 5-yard mark off. Give W&J the playback, which is a tough decision, but that's the one that Sam Bauman makes. Ball back to the 24. First penalty against the red and black. So it's first and 15 from the 24. Cernuto goes in motion. A little swing pass. DeRosa trying to get outside a block there. Gets the penalty yardage plus a handful more. He's going to be spotted out of bounds at about the 31-yard line. 7 yards on the play. Grab for DeRosa, 7. Second down and 8. The president right at the line of scrimmage. Pugh passes near side. McCosco makes the grab up over the 40 and out of bounds across the 40-yard line for a first down. 10-yard pickup. Completion to McCosco. And Pugh, after misfiring on his first pass, has hit 4 in a row. He's hit 4 of 5. Trips to the left. It's Peduzzi, McCosco, and Rosati working their way back to the formation. Cernuto now on the line of scrimmage as the tight end. DeRosa takes the handoff. Patient run. Now busted up the middle across midfield and down at the Teal 46-yard line. First down. Power inside running game working well for the president here tonight. 13 yards there for DeRosa, 36 yards on his 4 carries. More than double his average a week ago. 3:05 to play here in the opening quarter. 7-0 W&J with the lead. First and 10 at the Teal 46. Few hands to DeRosa, hand on the hip of the blocker out in front of him. And DeRosa got to about the 41, gave up a little ground, and actually is going to be spotted down at the 42. So it'll end up being a 4-yard run. That's a hand on the hip of Raymond Holmes. Lining up along with Cernuto as a tight end. DeRosa's run for 4. Up second down and 6. Troy Volpatti in the game now in the backfield. Now Holmes and Cernuto with Pugh and Volpatti. Holmes goes in motion. Hand off Volpatti. Got to make one man miss, and he can't do that. Taken down at the line of scrimmage. Everybody else was blocked. Volpatti had to make one guy miss. And got wrapped up and dropped for no gain at the 42. Third down and 6. First carry of the game for Volpatti, the junior out of Bethel Park. Costco tops the formation. Cernuto in a slot outside the left tackle. Two receivers wide that way. Pass to McCosco. Turns around, makes the catch. Trying to slip out of a tackle. Can't quite get free, but down close to the 25-yard line. And another W&J first down. Put the ball, actually it's 28, so it's a 14-yard pickup. 5 straight completions now for Jake Pugh, senior out of Thomas Jefferson. 1:20 to play in the first. Pugh fakes to Volpatti. Pass across the middle on a skinny post off the hands of Peduzzi. Incomplete. Well, Channel just a hair out in front too far. Now 5 of 7 for 66 yards. Did throw to Peduzzi long earlier, but that's the play wiped out from statistics because of the ineligible man downfield. Holmes goes out of the game, and now it looks like W&J is going to need to use his timeout. We're bringing Kobe DeRosa back on, and Holmes went off. The play clock was winding down. So Mike Sirianni uses the timeout, 1:14 to play in our opening quarter. And other scores, three games on the afternoon docket. Carnegie Mellon, 41-7 win over Geneva. Westminster beat Waynesburg, 23-10. St. Vincent, 41, Allegheny, 20. Just get the note of a final. What I'm reading is correct. Pitt beat West Virginia, scoring in the final minute for Pitt to win 38-34. You ask, why am I so interested in that little note? Because W&J and West Virginia entered the day tied for 22nd all-time in college football victories, both with 782. So with West Virginia's loss to Pitt today, a W&J win here tonight against Peel would drop the Mountaineers to 23rd and give W&J 22nd place all time by themselves. Try to refresh that later on. Little flip pass forward after the timeout. DeRosa cuts back against the grain, fumbles the football, and it looks like the Tomcats have the ball.
Tomcats ball, first and 10.
No official has signaled such, but it looks like they are going to call it that way. DeRosa got to the 19 but fumbled the ball, and the president turned it over. With that, had a nice pickup at 9 yards, but then put the ball on the ground. So Teal takes over. So both teams' defense has gotten a stop when needed. First and 10. Running play, Deion Logan takes it around the right side and struggles to get back. Tanner Rennie is the ball carrier. Gets only back to the line of scrimmage. Second down and 10, Tanner Rennie's first carry of the night, just sixth of the season. Tanner Rennie, a senior out of Cape Coral, Florida. Two receivers wide to the near side. Daniel Rennie looks and throws that way quickly, trying to set up blockers by the wide receivers, and the Acosta makes the catch, and he was spending too much time trying to get to set up the blocker. And not only that, but Acosta is taken down shy of the line of scrimmage and sitting down, reached up and took his helmet off, and so he's going to have to come out of the game. But I'm not sure Acosta is all right anyway. Athletic trainers out to check on him. Completed pass for a loss of a yard. Second such statistical entry tonight for the Tomcats. In fact, their last two completions have both been for negative yardage, and both of them to Ryan Acosta, the senior out of El Paso, Texas. And now, once Acosta's made his way off, the quarter is going to be allowed to run out. W&J scored in the first 2 minutes of the quarter, and nobody has scored since. End of one, W&J 7, Teal nothing. Back in just a moment here on the WJPA Sports Network.
For 125 years, Washington Financial has been covering this region's financial needs. Sharing your rebellious spirit, standing right here with you, supporting your dreams, helping businesses grow and thrive, investing in what matters, and always putting people first. Thank you. for letting us get to know you over our first 125 years. We're Washington Financial, and we're proud to be the bank that gets you. Learn more at washfin.bank. Washington Financial Bank, member FDIC.
Touchdown, Steelers!
The Steelers take their 1-0 record to Denver this week to face the Broncos. Hear Steelers football on 1450 AM WJPA. Airtime is 2:25. Kickoff is 4:25. Tune in as the Steelers try to start the season with back-to-back road wins. We're your home for Steelers football all season long. Steelers Broncos this week with pregame coverage starting at 2:25 on 1450 AM WJPA. Your station for the Steelers and the National Football League.
The second quarter, WJ with a 126 to 49 yard advantage in total offense, 51 rush, 75 pass for the Presidents, 11 rush, 38 pass for the Tomcats. Peel facing now third down and 11, its own 18 yard line, and somehow Acosta is back on the field. Pass on the deep slant is caught up across the 30 to 35, and good for a first down to Jason Stone.
First down.
Fourth first down of the game for the Tomcats. Pickup of 18. And Daniel Rennie, very efficient. 7 of 9. Third catch for Jason Stone. Half of what he had in the entire game a week ago against Carnegie Mellon. Tomcats on the move. A new set of downs. First and 10 at their own 36. Rennie hands it off to Tanner Rennie, and he doesn't get the feet going any quicker than he's dragged to the ground. The tackle made quickly by Keith Hall loses a couple. Second down and 12. Rennie's two carries for 0 and -2. Tomcats now at a net of 9 rushing yards so far tonight. Second and 12. Daniel Rennie rolls out, gets blistered just as he goes to throw the ball. It's going to be an incomplete pass. It's looking over the top of Blake Joseph when just absolutely got obliterated. Brock Sherman, the linebacker out of Walsh Jesuit. Rennie now at 7 of 10 for 56 yards passing. Third down and 12. Tomcats at their own 34-yard line. Opening 2 minutes of the second quarter. WJ with a 7-0 lead. Wait for about 15 minutes of game action now. Rennie gets pressure rolling, going to get rid of the ball, underthrown, and short hop by the receiver, incomplete, intended for Jason Stone. And that ball may have been tipped, and then Rennie ends up having to pick himself up off the ground, and he's walking like he's starring in an old Western. He makes his way to the near side. President's defense bows the back for a second time, forcing a punt. This time it will not be Rennie punting. It will be Zach Smith, the freshman out of Steubenville. Presidents with 10 men on the line of scrimmage. Now they back one of those off, but only one deep back, and the play clock runs to 0. And it is going to be a delay of game penalty against the Tomcats. Third penalty in this first half. Smith punted 7 times a week ago, averaged a little under 27 yards per kick. Rizzotti back needs to receive. He's standing at his own 40-yard line. 3 personal protectors, a couple of gunners wide. Smith gets the kick out of there. Nice end-over-end kick. Rizzotti backpedaling, makes the fair catch at his own 39-yard line. 27-yard punt for Smith, and the Rosati fair catch. 13:24 to play first half. WJ again with good field position. Two of the three possessions for WJ started 35-plus. Again, a 27-yard punt and a fair catch. First and 10, WJ from the 39. Pugh brings Rosati in motion across the set. Hands the ball off. Nope, pulls it back. Finds Peduzzi across midfield and pulls down at the 45-yard line. Going to be a gain of about 15 on the play. Peduzzi's first reception of the game. A couple of balls intended for him. The president's first down on that 15-yard on the money. Faked out the announcer and the defense. And Peduzzi got open for a 15-yard grab. Cernuto motions to Twins right. Running play was delay in the backfield and a couple of stutter steps, and Volpatti doesn't get going and end up with a gain of about one. Good running early in the ball game for Kobe DeRosa. Series of 15 and 8. With an 11-yard run, DeRosa with 13 and 4-yard carries, but Patty gets just one here. That's his second rush of the game. Second down and 9 at the Peel 45. Pressure right in the face. Pass is tipped. Tried to dump it off on a screen. And up getting a hand up was Luke Faber, and he almost one hand pulled that pass in. Fortunately for the Presidents, it fell incomplete. Bring up third down and 9. Pugh, just not enough lift on that pass on the screen. If it gets through, there's a lot of blockers and a lot of room. Pugh, 7 of 10 here in the opening half. Sets and throws across the middle. Going to the turf, making a nice sliding grab is Makai Evans. And Evans will move to 6. Evans to the 33. Catch good for 12. And the President's 10th first down. With that, Pugh over 100 passing yards. Evans' first catch of the year. The sophomore out of Arnold, Maryland. Running play going straight ahead. Slowed down for a moment. And second effort, going to get a little bit. Never did go down. Owen Patricic. Patricic going to get 3 on the play. Put the ball to the 30-yard line. And as I said, he never did go to the ground. Senior out of Bentworth. Speaking of Bentworth, next Friday night we'll have the Bearcats and the Bulldogs in Fredericktown as Bentworth and Best Center meet up in Tri-County South action. Well, that game. We're working on our plans for the other game on Friday night. Second down and 7 at the 30. Rosati in motion. Pugh, shotgun snap, pressure, dumps the ball off. Caught by DeRosa, made a man miss inside the 30. Gets to about the 23 and will move the 6. Rosa to the 23, gets 7 and another President's first down. First and 10 at the 23-yard line. Third catch of the game for DeRosa. He'd like to have that second one back. 9-yard pickup and a fumble loss. 10-10 to play first half. 7-0 WJ with the lead. Two blocking backs, a tailback, and the tail. Pugh's going to fake to the tail. Throw the ball to the right side. It's Cernuto with the catch, and he's just inside the 13-yard line. First down. Cernuto 11 yards on the reception. 11-yard pickup. Pugh averaging 12 yards per completion here tonight. 120 on his 10 completed passes. Set offense by Cernuto, his first of the night and second of the year. Ball at the Teal 12. Pugh with a play fake, rolls right, dumps the ball off Cernuto inside the 5 and forced out of bounds near the 2-yard line. There is a stoppage. The official is going to talk things over. It looked like Cernuto got to the 3-yard line, but the president's flagged for an ineligible receiver. It said 53, but I don't think the presidents have a 53 on the field at the moment. I'm going to guess it was 63, the left guard Adam Kazera. So ineligible receiver wipes out the big completion and takes the ball out to the 17-yard line. I'm going to go with 63 Kazera on the penalty. And now it's 53, but the president didn't have 53 on the field. Hand off to Patricic, and there was nowhere to go. He got strung out and stopped back at the 21, loss of 4. Second down and 19 now at the 21. For Owen Patricic, that's his 8th carry of the year, the first one for negative yardage. Team's leading rusher coming in. Second and 19, Pugh with a clean pocket, throws over the head of the linebackers into the end zone. Seaman makes the catch for the touchdown. Perfect pass. Clean pocket protecting, and Seaman makes the grab. 21-yard TD pass. Pugh to Seaman, a junior out of Louisville, Ohio. Ricky Hunter to attempt the extra point, boots the kick up and good. 8:23 to play, first half, WJ 14, Teal nothing, kickoff on the WJPA Sports Network when we come right back.
From Evergreen Personal Care Homes, here's Nicholas Hall.
Typically, it's the resident's son or daughter that start the process. They may come to us and they may take a tour by themselves first before mom and dad knows. That's a very intricate transition, as you know, moving your loved one from their house to a personal care home. We treat everyone like family. We have caregivers who take care of the frontline bathing and hygiene, med techs who pass the medications, and we have supervisors that oversee both of those areas, as well as a resident coordinator and a chef in each building. It's nice to have a small to mid-sized facility, and all that equates to taking care of your loved one and making sure they get what they need. The easiest way to get a question to us is on our website, evergreenassisted.com. You can look at pictures from each location. You can read real-life testimonials, and the contact numbers are on the website, evergreenassisted.com.
Liam Campbell to kick it off for the president. And his kick will carry back inside the 10, backpedaling. Making the grab at about the 5 run, right up the hash mark across the 20, and all of a sudden everything comes to a stop.
Tarver returns the kick.
Running the kickback was Marquis Tarver once again. He's going to get about, looks like about 18 yards on the return.
By Simmons. First and 10 for the Tomcats.
WJF 14-0. Going to take over to its own 23-yard line. Moved the ball a couple of times, but unable to find a way to the end zone. First and 10, Daniel Rennie in the shotgun from the 23. Brings the slot man at Stone in motion. Hand the ball off. Nice cut back up the field. Going to pick up
DJ Logan, the
like
ball
about
carrier.
Three. Logan, three, the ball carrier.
Second down and 7 for the
contest. Update from Cleveland. Looks like end of 1. Case Western Reserve 29, Bethany nothing. the end of one quarter. Hogan's run good for three. The Tomcats keep the Presidents honest. They've run the ball nine times, but a net of 12 yards on that. Second and seven. Stone motions and trips this way. 360 by Rennie. Throws sideline on the move. Ball a little underthrown. Stone tries to slam on the break and could not get back to the ball. Even if he had, it would have been out of bounds. So now third down. Rennie now has been incomplete on his last three passes. And 7 of 12 completions overall. Third down and 7 for the Tomcats from their own 26-yard line. Two receivers wide each way. Man stays home. Rennie throws the ball deep down the middle of the field. Pass is knocked away. Incomplete. Looked like one hand on the shoulder.
But Joseph.
Lake Joseph looking for a call, but Carson Laconi looked like he used the left hand to get a little elevation. Batted the ball down with the right hand. No foul is the indication. Incomplete. Zach Smith on to punt again. Rizzotti back deep to receive. 27-yard punting average for Smith, including his first punt of the night. This one's blocked. And the loose ball going to be covered at the Teal 20-yard line. Punt was blocked. Preston Schrey, I believe, on the block for the President. WJ special teams now take over at the 20-yard line going in. 7:19 to play here in this opening half. WJ with a 14-0 lead. Sharks smelling blood in the water. Two receivers wide each way, wider this side, and now Rizzotti motions to trips left. Pugh claps for the snap. Gets it, drifts back, throws across the middle, a little dump off to McCosco, inside out move, gets to the 15 and down to about the 11-yard line. Pick up about 9 on the play.
Jacob McCosco picks up about 9. Second down and 1.
Bought the ball down at the 11. It is indeed a 9-yard completion. 12 of 15 I have Pugh at the moment. Four catches by McCosco for 48 yards. That's 48 of the 150 offense through the air. Cernuto from his slot goes in motion. Hand off to Rosa. Gets the first down. Keeps his balance. Fights his way inside the 5. Loses the football, but it's going to be ruled down at the 3-yard line.
The ball comes loose. Ruled down by contact.
DeRosa going to move the sticks as he got to about the 3-yard line. Tough. Hard inside running there, but
Douglas in on the stop of the
take care of the ball.
For a first down
DeRosa's 8-yard run gives him 48 yards on 6 carries. As we approach 6 minutes remaining in the half, 14-0 W&J. And now a full house backfield behind Pugh. First and goal from the 3. Third man is DeRosa running right, lowers the shoulders, and
DeRosa the ball
powers in
to
the end zone for a 3-yard TD run. His second of the night, third rushing touchdown of the season for Kobe DeRosa, the junior, 210-pound, 5'10 frame out of Laurel High School. Presence takes little time converting the punt block into 6. And now Ricky Hunter to try to make it 7. Snap and hold, a little right side pressure, but Hunter blasts it through.
Ricky Hunter's
the kick
try for a point
is good. WJ 21,
Teal
nothing. 5:54 to go, second quarter. Back on the WJBA Sports Network in just a moment.
Hi, this is Attorney John Patricic, and I've been your hometown attorney for nearly 30 years. Whether it be family law,
the preparation of wills and powers of attorney, or the administration of an estate, I'm ready to assist you. I also represent clients on real estate matters including oil and gas, local government issues, contract disputes, and civil litigation including personal injury. If you're looking for an experienced attorney, I have offices in Bentleyville and Washington. Call 724-239-2330 for a free consultation. Go Presidents.
Hi, this is Johnny Morgan. Tune in every Sunday for Cruisin' the 60s from noon till 4. Motown, the British Invasion, Garage Bands, the psychedelic era, and all the great music from the 60s with a touch of the 70s in there too.
And this is Gee Whiz George. Hop in with me for Cruisin' Sunday night from 4 till 10. 50s, early 60s, Pittsburgh classics, and more.
Nobody does Sundays the way we do Sundays here on WJPA, sponsored by Slovenian Savings and Loan and the Guitar Gallery in Cannonsburg.
Tarver takes the kickoff from Campbell back at the 7-yard line and going straight up the field between the numbers and the hash marks. And Tarver taken down just across the 20-yard line. He will again start right around the 23, second consecutive possession for Teal to start there. And Teal with four first downs in the game. Three on their opening possession, one on the second. Now taking over, down 21-0. Ball at the 23. Shotgun formation for Daniel Rennie. Looks and throws, deep seam, Stone, intended target, ball underthrown and intercepted near midfield. Picked off
by Carson
Lacone, who defended the last pass play. And this time, underneath the receiver, the underthrown ball and the interception for Lacone. Now each team has now turned the ball over once. The President's also blocked a punt. President take over right at midfield. 5:44 to play, second quarter, up 21-0 now. WJ with half a field to work to add to that lead. Cernuto resets outside the right tackle. Pugh fakes, rolls right, throws right, pass caught. 5, making 7, maybe 8 yards. Rosati steps out of bounds at the 43, so it'll be a 7-yard completion to the 43. President's right back at the line of scrimmage. First catch of the night for Rosati.
Second down and 13 for the President.
Pugh completion in 16 first half attempts. Second and 3 at the Teal 43-yard line. Twins wide each way. Pugh shows to Patricic, pulls it back out, finds Peduzzi, who swims his way inside the 30 and down at the 26 for another President's first down.
Good enough for another President's first down.
17 yards on that pass play. First down unofficially number 15. Second catch for Peduzzi. Averages had 127 yards on 5 catches last week, so 25 yards per. A little lower than that tonight, but not terribly. 4.5 minutes to play in the half. 21-0. Pugh sets on the fly, looking for Peduzzi to run under. A little hand fighting. Peduzzi gets behind the coverage and makes the catch for the touchdown.
Complete to number 15, John Peduzzi, for the President's touchdown.
Second touchdown pass of the night for Jake Pugh, the 6th of the season. Peduzzi hauls in the 26-yard TD pass. And with that, Pugh right at 200 passing yards on the night. Second touchdown reception of the year for Peduzzi. And this extra point kick is blocked. Blocked by Luke Faber. He knocked a pass down earlier. This time, Faber blocked the extra point. The WJ 27, Teal nothing, with 4:23 to play in the first half. The kickoff when we come back on the WJPA Sports Network.
For 125 years, Washington Financial has been covering this region's financial needs. Sharing your rebellious spirit, standing right here with you, supporting your dreams, helping businesses grow and thrive, investing in what matters, and always putting people first. Thank you for letting us get to know you over our first 125 years. We're Washington Financial, and we're proud to be the bank that gets you. Learn more at washfin.bank. Washington Financial Bank, member FDIC.
Ryan Radke here from Sunday Night Football on Westwood One. Join Mike Golic and me from Houston for the Texans and the Bears. Houston got big performances from C.J. Stroud and Joe Mixon in their opening win over the Colts. Now they host Chicago, who picked up a Week 1 win over the Titans for rookie quarterback Caleb Williams. Which team can keep the wins coming? Join us to find out. Texans and the Bears on Sunday Night Football.
Right here on WJPA AM 1450, your home for the NFL.
Campbell kicks the ball off and
first down
hits the face mask of Javier White and bounced right out to the president, to Mekhi Simmons, all over the loose ball. And another special teams gaffe for the Tomcats has the president set up. Third turnover, in essence, block punt, interception, and now a kickoff muff. And WJ to take over at the Teal 18-yard line. Presidents have won 39 of the last 40 games between these two teams. Pew, fade ball, looking for Peduzzi, hand fighting again, couldn't get his right hand to get to the ball, and lobbying for an interference call, but we'll get none. Justin Logan on the coverage.
Justin Logan on the coverage for the Tomcats.
Exact same pass play. Peduzzi against Logan. This time, Peduzzi did not get behind Logan to get to the ball. Second down and 10 at the 18. Clock stop with 4:14 to play in the first half. Presidents have scored on all but one possession here tonight. Cernuto motions, little flip pass. Volpatti coming to the left edge, makes an inside-out move, a flag goes down, Volpatti gets airborne and gets knocked down, but this almost certainly is going to be a holding penalty against the president. And I'm going to bet on the center, Grant Cullen. Oh, actually, the umpire charges the hold to tight end Raymond Holmes. So the holding penalty will wipe out that little flip run by Volpatti. Take the ball back out to the 28-yard line. Third W&J penalty of the game, 20 yards in Marcos. And all three penalties on the offense, twice ineligible man downfield, and now the offensive holding. Trips left, single receiver right, first, second down and 20. Pugh get pressure, dump it off on the little middle screen. Well, Patty started this way, now tries to go back, spinorama, and fights his way inside the 25, down to about the 22. Going to pick up six of the 10 penalty yards.
Make a third and 14.
It'll be third down and about 14 yards to go for the president. Catch for Volpatti, his first of the year. Rizzotti motions to the far side, now brings it back to Tripp. Blitz coming, picked up. Pugh avoids that, rolls right, and will run 20, 15, and down inside the 10, but I'm not sure he got the first down.
The ball carrier
looks to be down at about the 8.5. Had to get to the 8-yard line. I don't think it's a first down.
Picks up about 13, going to be fourth down and less than a yard.
And it will be fourth down inside the 9. Pugh, two carries for 24 yards tonight. Deep handoff at DeRosa. Slipped guys at the line of scrimmage and scoots around the end of the end zone for the touchdown.
There is a flag on the play.
There is a flag down. Flag at the corner where DeRosa went around the bend.
Hold it.
offense, number 16, 10-yard penalty.
And it is going to be a holding penalty against one of the president's receivers. Two holding penalties. This will take the ball out to just inside the 19-yard line.
For the president.
So from 4th and 1 to 4th and 11. Not only that, but took the points off the board as well. Now, you can argue, because the hold was on the end that DeRosa went around, that he wouldn't have gotten there. Empty backfield, except for the quarterback, Pugh. Third down and 11 at the 19. Pugh stands clean. Now slides to his right. Keeps the play alive. Throws the ball inside the 5. And it is caught for a first down. Makai Evans with the reception on an absolute rope throw by Jake Pugh to the 3-yard line. Needed 11, got 16. Evans' second catch of the night. And I have 17 W&J first down. Full house backfield. Running play going to the left side, and that tripped up. Nice job by the Teal defense to get both Patty's feet, and he never did get to the blocker.
Terrell on the stop for the Tomcats. Brings up second down and goal at the Tomcats 4.
Second and goal at the 4. That play for Bull Patty actually lost the yard. He has 3 carries for a net of 0.
There's the official 2-minute timeout.
We reached the 2-minute timeout. Not called the 2-minute warning in college game.
Again, just
the new stoppage of action at the second and fourth quarter. It's called the 2-minute timeout. Second and goal for the Presidents at the Teal 4. WJF 27-0. See how this final couple of minutes work out when we come right back here on the WJPA Sports Network.
From Evergreen Personal Care Homes, here's Nicholas Hall.
We have 3 wonderful locations, one in Waynesburg, one in Washington, and we have one in Morgantown, West Virginia. It's nice to go somewhere where you may know somebody. Staff's local, they don't have to drive far. It's all teamwork oriented. We work in shifts. We like to have fun, and we make sure people are well taken care of. We're one of the only fully staffed, above staffed personal care homes in the state. The biggest reason that we like to be above staffed is we like to make sure that your loved one's taken care of. Our average experienced staff has at least 15 years of experience. So you're coming to Evergreen to see a fully staffed team and a lot of expertise. The easiest way to get a question to us is on our website, evergreenassisted.com. You can look at pictures from each location. You can read real life testimonials, and the contact numbers are on the website, evergreenassisted.com.
2 minutes to play in the first half. W&J second down and goal at the Teal 4-yard line. Presidents lead the Tomcats 27-0. Single back is Volpatti with Pugh. Nudo set as a blocking back right behind the tight end right. Motion by McCosco. Pugh fakes to Volpatti, dumps the ball off, pass into the end zone. Cernudo makes the catch for the touchdown.
Cernudo, good enough for a W&J touchdown.
4-yard TD pass. Third scoring pass of the night for Pugh and 7th of the year. For Cernudo, his first TD reception. And as the Presidents are wont to do, having not converted one extra point situation, they will go for 2 here. Boy, and now the Presidents have to use a timeout.
Timeout by W&J.
33-0. W&J dominating here. I have 17 first downs for the Presidents of 4 for Teal. And the Presidents had an extra point loss on their 4th touchdown and line up to go for 2 here with 1:55 to play in the half. Jay taking advantage of an interception, a punt block, and then a muff kickoff. And getting points after each of those situations. presence. We'll now send the kick unit out, and Ricky Hunter, boosted home, got that over whatever rush there was. The timeout, rethink, and WJ boots the extra point home. 34-0 presence lead Teal. We'll keep it here with the kickoff coming. Ricky Hunter, 3 of 4 on PAT kicks. Evan Wyatt, the special teams PAC Player of the Week for his work a week ago. Ricky Hunter, the fifth-year player out of Freeport, kicking duties here tonight, at least on the scrimmage kicks. Kickoffs have been handled by Liam Campbell, and he's done a really nice job kicking the ball often inside the 5-yard line, including Jameer White's mishandle of the last kickoff. Tarver took all of the previous ones, but then White and Tarver flip sides. It's going to be Tarver back where he was, backpedals to the 7. Called a fair catch, I thought. He's like he's waving his arm to start the clock. Tarver, I'm not exactly sure what that was from Tarver. If that was a fair catch indication, it was way late, and he is all over referee Craig Kowalski. Kowalski says you can't have the ball coming into your hands when you wave your arm. So the 13-yard kickoff return will end at the 20-yard line. First and 10 from the 20. Daniel Remy, hand off to Tanner Remy, trying to get around the left side. Going to get a couple of yards. Got across the 22.
Tanner Remy, the ball carrier, picks up the
23. Rennie, 3 on the play. Teal will get the ball to start the second half. Won the coin flip and deferred their option to the second half. WJ went right down the field and scored in less than 2 minutes. Second and 7 from the 23. Daniel Rennie backpedaling in trouble. Ran away from the pressure and sprint to the sideline. And going to step out of bounds for a 1-yard loss at the boundary.
Justin Johns.
Justin Johns with the sack pressure. Loss of a yard on the play. That's going
to
make it 3rd down and 8 back at the 22. Clock stopped with the 1:16 to play. Third down and 8 for the Teal squad from its own 22-yard line. Do not want to give the ball back to the present. Rennie flushed out again, rolls to his left. Pass up the field is behind the intended receiver. Tried to spin around, but could not get back to the ball. That was Tanner Rennie.
Rennie's pass intended for number 20, Tanner Rennie. Incomplete.
Incomplete pass. Bring up 4th down. The president's pass defense has really stiffened.
4th down and 8 for Teal.
That's 6 straight passes without a completion for Daniel Rennie, including an interception. Now punt formation for the 3rd time for Zach Smith. Gets this kick away as a line drive. Rosati makes the grab at his own 49, steps into Teal territory and out of bounds inside the Teal 40-yard line.
Smith punt taken by Anthony Rosati.
Actually marked the catch at the 48, so 30 on the punt. Rosati with a nice return. Spotted, it looks to be at the Teal 40. So 30 on the punt, 12 on the return, and WJ with the 59 seconds to play here in the half. Chance to put more on the board. leading 34-0. First and 10 at the Teal 40. Pugh with four wide receivers. And now Volpatti releases into the pattern. Pass across the middle is rifled. Complete coming back to the ball at the 29. Catch made by Seaman. Zach Seaman's third catch of the night, and that's good for a first down. Pass play good for 11. First and 10. Pugh. Deep post, contact inside the 10-yard line and going to just be ruled incidental. McCosco, the intended receiver, and the ball incomplete. Much to the chagrin of the W&J fans right below us. We'll stop the clock with 44 seconds to play. I have Jacob Pugh, 19 of 24 for 237. Three touchdowns on the night. Pugh to look to put it up. Settles underneath. Dumps the ball off. Rosati with the catch.
Rosati. Good enough for another president.
Another WJ first down. This time good for 12 yards. The ball at the 17. First and 10. Pugh with all kind of time. Back across his frame. Throws the ball to the 10. And there is Seaman for the catch. Game clock down to 25. Spot is going to be about the 9-yard line, 8 yards to Seaman. Pugh, just like a statue, now slides left, back of the end zone, pass is incomplete, broken up there. Peduzzi, the intended target,
in the end zone by number zero, Justin Logan.
Able to knock it down. Third and two at the 9. Now 9 seconds to play. Presidents do have a timeout left, though they used one after their last touchdown when it looked like they were going to go for two. So one timeout remaining. Three wides to the left. Blitz coming, pass to the other side. A little push-off, diving attempt at the ball in the corner. McCosco couldn't make the catch, and I'm not sure he could have gotten down in bounds.
McCosco
may well be fortunate to not have gotten called for offensive pass interference. And now, looks like the field goal unit is going to come on. This time, spot will be the 16-yard line. 26-yard effort. There is a flag down, though. The kick was no good, but there is a flag. Offside Teal, and that's a first down for the president. So that'll take the ball.
Offside. Defense, number 21. That's the goal.
Half the distance penalty, and it's a first down for the president. 2 seconds to play. And now, presidents leave the kick unit out.
Nicolonis try the field goal.
Jason Michaelonis with a field goal attempt. Snap skitters back, and by the time it's teed up, the kick is blocked, and the half comes to an end. Presidents with two scrimmage kicks blocked tonight. That second one, a low snap, and Michaelonis restarted there took a half step and then saw the snap bounding back to the holder, and got it teed up but didn't get the kick elevated, and the field goal block, and the half comes to an end with that. But all in all, a really solid, efficient half for the Presidents. We'll get you a recap of that. We'll run down last night's high school football items for Washington and Greene County teams, and take a look at some numbers here at the break. That's all when we come back here on the WJPA Sports Network, with Washington and Jefferson leading 34-0.
Hi, this is Attorney John Patricic, and I've been your hometown attorney for nearly 30 years. Whether it be family law, the preparation of wills and powers of attorney, or the administration of an estate, I'm ready to assist you. I also represent clients on real estate matters including oil and gas, local government issues, contract disputes, and civil litigation including personal injury. If you're looking for an experienced attorney, I have offices in Bentleyville and Washington. Call 724-239-2330 for a free consultation. Go Presidents.
Are you a landlord looking to increase your rental income? The Washington County Housing Authority's Housing Choice Voucher Program is looking for new landlords like you. With new higher payment standards, you can now earn more from your rental property than ever before. The Housing Choice Voucher Program provides safe and affordable housing for families in need and ensures landlords are rewarded for participating. It's a win-win for everyone. You receive competitive rent rates, ensuring your rental property is always in demand, and tenants get a safe and affordable place to call home. Partnering with a Housing Choice Voucher Program also means reduced vacancy rates and guaranteed on-time payments. Be part of a program that makes a real difference in people's lives. Join the Housing Choice Voucher Program today. Call now 724-228-6060 or visit WCHAPA.org to learn more about the Housing Choice Voucher Program. Payment standards may vary by location and are subject to program guidelines.
Back here at Stover Field at Alumni Stadium here at Teal College. We're at the half where WJ enjoys a 34-0 lead, looking for win number 40 in the last 41 meetings between these two. The 2005 Teal victory, the only loss for the Presidents in that run. Teal went on to win a share of the Presidents Athletic Conference title there in that 2005 season. WJ had won 22 in a row ahead of that 2005 meeting. Now WJ has won 17 straight since then. Eight straight games. WJ has scored 50-plus in this series. And two-thirds of the way to that again tonight at 34-0 here at the half. Jacob Pugh continues the hot hand. I have Pugh 21 of 28 for 257 yards and three more touchdowns, now seven on the year. Zach Seaman with four catches for 60. Jake Costco with four catches as well for 48. He's gone over the 200-yard receiving mark. John Peduzzi approaching 200 yards receiving for the year with the three grabs for 58 yards tonight. That gives him 185 on eight receptions. Kobe DeRosa with three catches tonight for 23 yards, but has a fumble loss, the only WJ turnover, though the Presidents have had an extra point kick block and a field goal block that ended the first half. On the other side of the ledger, I have Daniel Rennie, 7 of 15. Official stats showing 7 of 14, but just went back through and checked each of those, and I am in agreement. I've checked those. Official stats list 71 yards, and I'm going to check my math here. 10, 45, 39, 38, 56. Yeah, I don't have near 71 yards. But I do have the seven receptions. And one issue is that their individual receiving yards don't add up to seven completions. So, actually, my apologies, they do indeed. Jason Stone with three for 28. Elis Ryan Acosta, two for 26. I actually have one additional completion. There, I have three, and Joseph with just the one catch for 8 yards. So I'm going to stick with what I've given you there. We'll get to some total numbers here in just a couple of minutes. Let's recap the scoring in this first half. WJ took the opening kickoff. Teal won the toss, deferred their option in the second half. WJ took the ball and started at the 42-yard line. Six plays later, Kobe DeRosa rumbling in from 8 yards out. Ricky Hunter's extra point gave the Presidents a 7-0 lead not 2 minutes into the game. Teal, though, responded nicely after a short kickoff return, sent them up at their own 15-yard line. Third down conversion, fourth down conversion, third down conversion. It was first and 10 at the President's 29. Defense, though, bow the back. Running play for no gain, a 6-yard loss on a completed pass, a false start, and a 9-yard pass play led to a pooch punt from Daniel Rennie. It was downed at the President's 3-yard line. WJ, 4 quick first down, run, penalty, pass, and run. Had the ball heel side of midfield. Pass play to McCosco, got the ball to the 28. And DeRosa, with a pass reception, fighting for extra yards, coughed the ball up and lost it at the 19, and Teal took over there on WJ's only turnover. Again, a first down for Teal, but the drive stalls out. They punt the ball. Presidents take over at their own 39, goes 61 yards in 9 plays. Zach Seaman on the receiving end of a 21-yard touchdown pass, right down the heart of the field, and Seaman behind the coverage. Hunter's extra point made it 14-0 WJ. Just a little under 8.5 minutes remaining in the first half. But the Presidents were far from done. They would score 3 more times. Forced Teal into a 3 plays and a punt and blocked that punt. And I believe it was Preston Try, the junior DB from Shenango, who blocked the punt. WJ took over at the Teal 20. 3 plays later, DeRosa running into the end zone from 3 yards out. His second rushing touchdown of the night. Hunter's extra point made it 21-0. And on first down for Teal after the kickoff return to the 23. Pass play, Rennie looking downfield for Jason Stone. Ball underthrown. And Laconi dunked underneath to that and was really just waiting for the ball to come down. Carson Laconi on a North Catholic with the interception. President took over right at midfield. 26-yard pass play on the fade. Peduzzi got behind the defensive back, Justin Logan. A little hand fighting, and then Peduzzi shook free and made the 26-yard TD reception. Faber, though, second big play, and actually almost intercepted a pass, and then blocks the extra point here and held WJ's lead to 27-0. Liam Campbell's kickoff went off the face of Javier White, the face mask, and bounded right to Zakai Simmons, who covered the ball at the 18-yard line. And then 6 plays later, Zach Cernuto caught a little dump-off pass from Pugh into the end zone, a 4-yard scoring pass. The extra point kicked by Hunter gave WJ a 34-0 lead. Each team had the ball one more time, but no further scoring. 34-0 Presidents with the lead at the break. And check some total numbers for you, some individual checkups as well, and run down high school football scores from last night and the other scores in the President's Athletic Conference. That's all when we come back here on the WJPA Sports Network in just a moment.
The Thomas Campbell Apartments are now accepting applications for newly remodeled units with occupancy available in the next several months. These 1- and 2-bedroom units have been completely remodeled, including new safety features throughout. Must be 62 or older to apply. Call for availability, 724-225-2290. For more than half a century, the Thomas Campbell Apartments have provided affordable, independent living in the Washington community. Call now, 724-225-2290. The Thomas Campbell Apartments, equal housing opportunity.
Touchdown, Steelers!
1450 AM WJPA is your home for Steelers football. Brought to you in part by Slovenian Savings and Loan, Eisminger's Auto Service, Car Wash and Towing, Curtis Pharmacy, and South Hills Lincoln. Hear the Steelers, plus Thursday night, Sunday night, and Monday night football. The Pittsburgh Steelers and the NFL in prime time on 1450 AM WJPA. Also brought to you by Starlake Ford, the Medicine Shop in Washington, Account Master and Money Concepts, and Steinstraw Construction.
Steel Band continuing their halftime performance here and playing a flight of the Condor to wrap up. WJ up 34-0, looking for second straight win, throwing a shutout so far tonight. Other scores in the league this afternoon, Carnegie Mellon 41-7 winners against Geneva. in their final run through the President's Athletic Conference schedule. Carnegie Mellon, it was announced earlier in the week that the Tartans will be running off to the Centennial Conference to play in that league after this football season. Their affiliate for football membership will be allowed to end following their return about 10 years ago. Westminster beat Waynesburg 23-10, St. Vincent 41, Allegheny 20. WNJ beat St. Vincent last week and will finish the schedule at Allegheny in mid-November. CMU stands at 2-0 at the moment. Allegheny drops to 1-1. St. Vincent improves to 1-1. Grove City, WNJ, Case Western, all at 1-0, along with Westminster. And Bethany and Teal both at 0-1. Grove City is off this week. Game in action tonight in Cleveland. Case Western rolling the Bethany Bison 44-6. That game a little more than halfway through their second quarter. So up Case Western up by 38. WNJ up on Teal by 34. Total offense in the game, WNJ 74 yards rushing. Kobe DeRosa with 51 of that. Jake Pugh has 24 yards rushing on the night. And Pugh, again, 21 of 28 passes for 257 yards in the ball game and three more touchdowns. He has seven on the season. On the other side, just 14 rushing yards for Teal, 56 passing. Daniel Rennie, I have 7 of 15 for 56 and one interception. 70 yards total offense for the Teal Tomcats. Teal has four first downs, those coming three on the opening possession, their fourth on the third play of their second possession, and no first downs for the Tomcats in that second quarter whatsoever.
We would like to wish all the Teal College sports teams the best of luck this season, and go Tomcats.
Get a quick count on W&J first down. I have 20 by my count. W&J with 20 first downs in the first half here tonight. Picked up 31 first downs last week. Third most in Division III. President's third most wins in Division III, 782 all-time victories. And trails only Mount Union and Wittenberg. Widener and Wabash round out the top five. And if you look at all divisions, W&J and West Virginia University tied for 22nd most all-time with 782. And again, WVU losing this afternoon, so if the President can protect his 34-0 lead, they will move into sole possession of 22nd on the all-time wins list in college football. Take a look at the high school action from last night. Beth Center had a chance to pull within one score early in the fourth, moving to the Carmichael's 5-yard line, but an interception ended that scoring threat. Brandon Yeckel then ran 40 yards for the closing score in Carmichael's 18-0 Tri-County South win. Will Murray and Robbie Wilson-Jones had first-half TD runs for Carmichael's. Lee Qualk ran just 11 times, but rolled up 250 yards and six touchdowns, leading California to a 72-14 win at Bentworth. Malachi Peak added a pair of rushing touchdowns with the Trojans. California scored 30 points in the opening quarter and led 58-14 at intermission. Ben Hayes scored both Bentworth touchdowns, a one-yard run, and a 29-yard reception from Ty Watson. Lane Allison threw a pair of TD passes, and Colin White's one-yard run put West Green up by three scores in the fourth on the way to a 23-12 win against Avella. After Hayden Hamilton's 34-yard field goal opened the scoring, Jackson Grimes caught a 40-yard TD pass. Allison later connected with Parker Burns from 7 yards out. Noah Kimberlin and Broden Ham scored on short runs for Avella. Houston Guzman ran for two touchdowns, passed for two more, and Jeff Morgan's 62-14 home win over Mapletown. Jace Bedillion and Ryan Baker caught the TD passes, scoring from 28 and 50 yards. Deacon DeHoot ran for one score and added a kickoff return of 85 yards for the Rockets. Ashton Walker and Colton Spitznagle had the Mapletown touchdown. Matt Sieg ran for over 220 yards and scored four times, leading defending WPIO 1A champion Fort Cherry past Chartiers Houston 42-6 in Black Hills Conference play. Sieg's scores covered 39, 38, 56, and 59 yards. Ryan Huey added a 7-yard touchdown run for the unbeaten Rangers. Aaron Walsh hit Nate Brzezinski on an 18-yard fade for the Bucks' only score late in the game. Cornell jumped in front of Burgettstown 21-0 in the first and rolled to a mercy rule win over the Blue Devils 42-0. Khalil Johnson scored three times on plays of at least 60 yards for the Raiders, a 70-yard reception from Mark Stuckey, a 60-yard run, and an 85-yard punt return. Stuckey added a 2-yard run and a 13-yard pass to Mikey Keys for Cornell to remain undefeated. Jacob Stevenson ran for 119 yards and two touchdowns, threw for 80 more yards and another score as Waynesburg beat Wash High, snapping a 9-game losing streak to the Little Prexies. Stevenson scored on runs of 4 and 25 and connected with Tegan Krause on a 28-yard TD pass. Caleb Patton and Javon Woods had short touchdown runs for Washington. Waynesburg never trailed in the game and forced three second-half Wash High turnovers to get the win. Michael Pasterik's 6 touchdown passes more than enough for Seton LaSalle to a running clock victory in Charleroi 48-8. Richard Littlejohn caught 2 of the scoring passes for the Rebels. Jackson Karanko hit Braden Lunger with a 49-yard scoring pass for the Cougars' only point. McGuffey's struggles continued as the Highlanders dropped their 4th straight game, falling at home 49-0 to Central Valley in a 3A West Hills opener. Braddock Ambrose threw touchdown passes to 5 different receivers for the Warriors. Mason Dixon scored 4 times for Central Valley, including 68 and 5-yard receptions and runs of 2 and 50 yards. Evan Morris scored 4 times on the ground, helping Cannon McMillan to its first win of the year, topping host Armstrong 45-35 in non-conference play. Ty Jansma's 1-yard run in the second helped the Big Macs lead 21-14 at recess. Jansma's 17-yard scoring pass to Roman Cimaroli gave Cannon Mac a little breathing room for Morris's 2 second-half TDs, paired with a Zach Bard 31-yard field goal, clinched the Big Macs' win. Defending 5A WPIO champion Peters Township moved to 4-0 with a 35-6 win over Trinity. Nolan DeLucia threw a pair of TD passes and ran for another score for the Indians. Lucas Ross opened the scoring with a 40-yard reception. DeLucia ran 9 yards up the middle to make it 14-0 before Cole Newpaper's 56-yard sprint to the house. Jeremy Poletti caught a 26-yard DeLucia scoring throw. Nick Corey added a short scoring run after intermission. Jonah Williamson's 2-yard sneak in the second quarter proved to be Trinity's only point. And 1 week after a fourth quarter rally snapped a double-digit losing skid, Ringgold couldn't find the magic last night, falling at home to Greensburg-Salem 7-0. The game's only score came in the third quarter. Brody Chismar hit Max Popper for an 18-yard touchdown. Other area scores, Central Catholic rolled Mount Lebanon 59-7. Mount Lebanon will host Cannon McMillan next week. South Park blanked Steel Valley 7-0 in 2A Allegheny play. Keystone Oaks 24-8 winner against Stowe Rocks. Stowe Rocks will host Wash High in a matchup of 0-1 teams early in the season. Manesson got by Sarah Catholic 20-14 in Black Hills 1A action. Non-conference, Carlinton a winner over Apollo Ridge 42-15. Thomas Jefferson beat Avonworth 44-7. Chartiers Valley got by Baldwin 21-13, extending Baldwin's losing skid to 13 straight. Same with Charleroi. McKeesport rocked Belle Vernon 28-7. With Bishop Canavan over Laurel, 48-23. South Fayette, 38. Elizabeth Forward, 19. Upper St. Clair, Wallop, Hampton, 62-7. Moon got by West Allegheny, 32-24. And Bethel Park beat West Mifflin, 62-14. Both teams back on the field. Second half kickoff. Teal will receive, trailing 34-0. We'll have that for you when we come back in just a moment here on the WJBA Sports Network.
For 125 years, Washington Financial has been covering this region's financial needs. Sharing your rebellious spirit, standing right here with you, supporting your dreams, helping businesses grow and thrive, investing in what matters, and always putting people first. Thank you for letting us get to know you over our first 125 years. We're Washington Financial, and we're proud to be the bank that gets you. Learn more at washfin.bank. Washington Financial Bank, member FDIC.
Liam Campbell to kick off once again with Javier White and Marquise Tarver back deep to receive. Campbell on the run-up and drills this kick. Tarver sees it sail over his head, and it will go just into the end zone. That ball bounced three times, 1 yard deep in the end zone. Touchback. Bring it out to the 25-yard line. Teal will attempt to find its way to the end zone, something that has not happened in their last six quarters. Shut out last week by Carnegie Mellon, and so far tonight by Washington and Jefferson. Presidents on the road at Waynesburg next week, then home to host the exiting Carnegie Mellon Tartans on the 28th. First and 10, Daniel Rennie calls for the snap, hands it off, running right side and not getting back to the line of scrimmage is Deion Logan.
Deion Logan, the ball carrier, stopped for a 3 yard loss.
Logan
second down, 13.
Spotted down at about the 22 yard line. Now the rushing has been a real problem for the Tomcats with that 3 yard loss. Now at 11 yards net rushing tonight. Second and 13 from the 22. Rennie to put it up, forced out of the pocket, and then dragged down and sacked.
Daniel Rennie tackled for a loss.
Brock Sherman busts his way through and picks up the sack. Ball be spotted at the 12-yard line, a loss of 10.
Third down, 23.
Rennie sacked twice tonight. Third down at about 22 yards to go. Third 23, Rennie rolls to the near side, trying to square his shoulders up. And got hit, taken down from behind. He's going to go down at about the 10-yard line. And this loss back to the 10. Teal goes 15 yards backwards on the possession. Tailback run and two sacks. Rizzotti should field the Smith punt in Teal territory. He's standing at the moment at the Teal 42-yard line. Smith averaging 27 yards per punt this year. Just gets this kick away. Rizzotti calls for and makes the fair catch, kneeling down at about the 37-yard line. 27 yards on the punt and the fair catch. WJ will take over at the Teal 37. Really short field position multiple times tonight for the president, with the one exception. He started at their own 3 yard line on the only completed possession prior to the blocked field goal at the end of the half that didn't end in a touchdown. Owen Patricic in the backfield along with Jake Pugh. Patrice gets the call, runs left side, goes between the guard and the tackle, and pounds inside the 35. Pick up about four, the 33. Patrice rolled up 60 yards a week ago on six carries. Gain of four here, second down and six. Costco and Seaman wide this way. Rosati and Peduzzi to the top of the formation. Pass play coming to the right, and it's caught by McCosco inside the 25, pushes the boundary. That should be a first down.
Good enough for President's first down.
21 first downs for the president tonight. That 9-yard pickup.
Joshua Williams on the top of the contact.
Costco's fifth catch of the evening. Cole Patty back into the backfield with Pugh now. First and 10 at the 24. Patty takes the handoff. Taps the feet, trying to run to the left, and gets the legs cut out from under him, and down at the about the line of scrimmage. May have gotten the length of the football credit forward. Nope, going to put him down right at the 24, Bull Patty. No gain on this run. Four carries, a net of 0 yards. Two zeros, a plus one and a minus one tonight for Bull Patty. Second down and 10. The Teal 24. Motion to Tripp's near side. Pugh rolls to the near side. Reloads. Wants to throw. Avoided a hit behind the line. And scrambles forward inside the 20. Knocked out of bounds. Pugh positive game.
Third down and three.
Ball's going to about the 18. So it's third and four at the 18-yard line. 30 yards on three carries for Jake Pugh. On the Teal 18, twin receivers each way. Pugh looking left, throwing immediately to the left, waiting for it, making the catch, going down at about the 10 is Peduzzi. That'll be a first down. Question is it outside the 10? It looks like it will be. Call it the 11-yard line. 7 yards on that pass play. First and 10 at the 11. Two tight ends, two receivers wide to the right side. Volpatti behind Pugh. Volpatti takes the handoff, runs around the left side, inside the 10. Forced to the boundary, and then legs cut down out on the blue turf. Looks like he's going to be spotted out at about the 7-yard line. Gain of four. Second and six at the 7. 9.5 minutes to play, third quarter. WJ knocking at the door. Ball at the 7-yard line. Second and six. Cernuto resets now behind the right tackle. Play keeper dumped the ball off, and that pass underthrown. Pugh just kind of flicked that ball down around the 5-yard line. Cernuto, the intended receiver, incomplete. Now third and six. Costco, Peduzzi, both wide this way. Now the tight end, Raymond Holmes, checks out of the game. Peduzzi now up on the line of scrimmage. Third down and six at the 7. Pugh looking right then left. Now rolls right, throws into the back of the end zone. Climbing the ladder. Rosati with the catch, beat down inbound, touchdown president. Fourth TD pass of the night for Jake Pugh, second game in a row with four touchdown passes. Twenty-fourth completion of the night for Jake Pugh. Second grab for Rizzotti. And his first touchdown of the year. Ricky Hunter run up, and the extra point kick is good. 9:03 to play in the third. WJ 41, Teal nothing. Kickoff on WJPA Sports Network. We come right back.
From Evergreen Personal Care Homes, here's Nicholas Hall.
Nowadays, personal care homes aren't like what they used to be 15 years ago. They were called homes. And once you went there, you didn't come back. Our goal is to take care of your loved one, provide skilled occupational therapy, physical therapy, get them doing the best that they can do. And it's always an option to go home if it's appropriate. You can get all your services completed, home health, hospice, physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech. We can do it all in-house. Evergreen's able to provide a well-staffed, above-staffed environment with highly educated, highly trained staff. It's nice to have a small to mid-sized facility, and all that equates to taking care of your loved one and making sure they get what they need. The easiest way to get a question to us is on our website, evergreenassisted.com. You can look at pictures from each location. You can read real-life testimonials, and the contact numbers are on the website, evergreenassisted.com.
Michaelonis will kick off for the Presidents. This kick is significantly shorter than Campbell's, and it will be taken by Carver on a fair catch running up under it.
Fair caught.
So that will give the Tomcats the ball.
25.
Teal has not had a first down since late in the opening quarter. I'm sorry, the first play of the second quarter, the last first down that Tomcats has picked up, just four in the ball game. The running attack now is at minus one unofficially. Field first and 10 at the 25-yard line. Wide to the near side is Jason Stone. In the shotgun, calls for the snap, hand the ball off, a little opening up the middle, a nice carry for
DJ Logan, the ball carrier.
DJ Logan, going to get six on the play, second and four. Logan, longest run for scrimmage tonight, that 6-yard pop right there, he has 17 yards on 9 carries. Rennie has been sacked 3 times for losses of 13. Ball out to the 31, second down and 4. 8.5 minutes to play in the third. Two backs in the backfield beside quarterback. Little flip play forward, and the President snuffed that out. There is absolutely nowhere to go on that pass play.
And
Acosta, who has gotten popped a couple of times tonight, had no chance. The loss here back to the 23, loss of 8. Statistically, that's another completed pass for negative yardage. Third straight completion to Acosta that's not gotten back to the line of scrimmage. Third down at about 12. Remy to put it up, pass out under the around the 25-yard line to
Royal pass,
Tanner Rennie. And that's going to get out to about the 25, so 2 yards on the completion, but it'll bring up fourth and 10. The punt unit will come on. Have a Rizzotti back deep to receive. And, Smith came in averaging 27 yards. The punt has been right around that tonight as well. Plus one block. A little low snap. He just gets the kick away. Rosati makes the fair catch at his own 46-yard line. Presence will take over, leading 41-0. 6:41 to play here in the third quarter. WJ will be at its own 46-yard line. 29 yards and a fair catch on that punt. And looks like Kellen Stahl going to take over at quarterback. Kellen Stahl to take his first snap of the night. Threw a couple of passes last week and will pass here. Stahl heaves the ball down into traffic. Battle for hand fighting and the ball falls incomplete.
Stahl's pass intended for number 6, Zach Seaman.
Seaman, the intended target. Ball. Two receivers, two defenders in the area. Hand fighting going on at the last minute. Seaman unable to make the grab. Stahl's first pass of the night falls incomplete. Second down at 10 at the 46. Split in and slots both ways. Now left slot comes in motion. Owen Patricic gets the handoff. Penetration and Patricic is tossed to the ground for a loss on the play.
The ball carrier tackled for a loss by number 99.
And Luke once
Faber.
Again, Luke Faber making a defensive play. Patricic loses 3. Third and 13 at the 43-yard line. Patricic now 4 carries for 0 net yards. Plus 3, minus 3, plus 4, minus 4 on his 4 run. Empty backfield. Stahl rolls to the right. Flag is down. Stahl avoids being sacked and now throws the ball and almost had it picked off. Stahl ends up way out of bounds here on the teal bench.
Knocked down by number 6.
Most certainly a holding call coming up against the president.
There is a flag on the play.
With it, the incomplete pass will make it 4th and 13. I can't imagine that Teal will accept the penalty. I would think they're going to take the results of the play, and WJ will punt for the first time. Already called on starting right guard Braden Penwell. WJ will run the offense off the field and bring the punt unit out.
For the president.
Devin Wyatt punted twice last week, but Ricky Hunter done most of the place kicking
number
and now punt for the first time. Cost is the deeper of the two men back to receive. The 43 high snap gets through Hunter's hands, goes back and gets it, trying to find a way to step up and kick it. Hunter pinballed around and dropped. Bad center pass, and Hunter is dropped.
Ricky Hunter, the ball carrier, tackled.
And Teal will take over. This time it's a special team gaffe by the president. And Teal will take over at the WJ 29.
The WJ 29 yard line.
.5:39 to play, third quarter. WJ up 41-0. Teal at the president's 29 after the bad center pass. Rennie hands it off, and there is nowhere to go for Deion Logan. He's going to lose 3. DJ Logan, 10 carries for 14 yards. Dawson Deep in on that stop. President's defense is not allowed a point. Teal has not been able to score. How'd you like to open Carnegie Mellon, W&J, first two games? Now 5 minutes left in the third quarter in game two, and the Tomcats have not scored as of yet. Second down and 13. Rennie in the shotgun, hands the ball off. It's Logan, this time around the right side, got that loss, or most of it back, picked up two.
DJ Logan, the ball carrier.
Robert Doyle, by the way, the quarterback here for the Tomcats. Ball at the present 30-yard line. Robert Doyle, a 6-foot freshman out of Crowley, Texas. Actually is quarterback this series and the previous one. Third and 11. Doyle, happy feet, gets rid of the ball. And it is intercepted. Ball overthrown and picked off. Brandon Brown with the pick. WJ's second takeaway of the night. WJ will take over with 4:07, so the bad center pass is made up for by Brown's interception. President now with two picks. Looks like Kobe DeRosa back in the ball game at tailback. Stahl gets the snap, hands it to DeRosa, and he is snowed
DeRosa
under immediately. DeRosa loses a yard.
Number 99, Luke Faber.
Faber does it again for the Teal defense. Maybe DeRosa was done for the night, but that is not the case. Princeton's actually with the starting wide receivers in the game as well. Stahl dumps it off, passes intercepted, tipped, and Faber sticks it in the end zone.
Knocked up in the air and intercepted by number 99, Luke Faber.
Faber nearly had an interception earlier. This time he tips it in the air with a pass from Stahl and catches it and then fights his way to the end zone well after the touchdown indication. I believe WJ going to get flagged for unsportsmanlike conduct. Faber with the interception.
Stall the play. Touchdown.
Touchdown. Faber. President's unsportsmanlike conduct.
First unsportsmanlike conduct.
And they will take that on the kickoff. Teal College has points for the first time this year. Comes with 3:23 to play in the third. Draven Livingston, a senior out of Reynolds High School here in District 10, set to attempt the PAT. Faber blocked the pass, caught it, intercepted it, and returned it about 3 yards. Extra point kick is good. Draven Livingston with the PAT. 3:23 to play in the third. WJ 41, Teal 7. Kickoff on the WJPA Sports Network when we come back.
Hi, this is Attorney John Patricic, and I've been your hometown attorney for nearly 30 years. Whether it be family law, the preparation of wills and powers of attorney, or the administration of an estate, I'm ready to assist you. I also represent clients on real estate matters including oil and gas, local government issues, contract disputes, and civil litigation including personal injury. If you're looking for an experienced attorney, I have offices in Bentleyville and Washington. Call 724-239-2330 for a free consultation. Go Presidents.
Washington's Main Street Farmers Market salutes our veterans this week. Sponsored by Omar Brooks of PA Vet Pets and Nicole Malesic Realty One Group. Visit tables to help support our veterans and shop for fresh fruits and vegetables, hot foods, and more. Your SNAP card gets you extra savings. Music with Dan Baker. The Main Street Farmers Market every Thursday from 3 till 6 in downtown Washington with free parking after 2 p.m. Sponsored in part by Range Resources, Washington Financial Bank, and EQT Foundation.
Sometimes when wins get to be blowouts, coaches look for situations to address, to be able to speak sternly in film and all of that. Well, Coach Mike won't have to look very hard. Two plays here in this second half will jump right out at everyone. The bad center pass when trying to punt, and then the interception thrown by Kellen Stahl on the tipped pass and the return, followed by the unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. Kickoff taken at about the 6-yard line, return near side, 30, 35, 40, lots of room. DeRosa inside Teal territory, weaving through traffic. DeRosa is finally dragged down inside the Teal 15-yard line.
Kobe DeRosa takes the kickoff all the way back to the contact 10-yard line. There is a flag on
there. There is a flag apparently down. I cannot see where that is. And I'm going to guess somewhere around the 32-yard line of Teal, perhaps, though. Referee now has the flag in his hand. Get an explanation here. He's there's the kicking team offside. So not only does DeRosa get the great kickoff return, but add 5 yards on to the end of it. So the president will take over. It looks to be about the 7-yard line going in. Yeah, ball is at the Teal 6-yard line. About an 83-yard kickoff return for DeRosa. Quarterback keeper. Going to carry inside the 5-yard line. Kellen Stahl with the carry. And ball is at the 2. 2 yards for Stahl on the run. Second and goal at the 2. Stahl to look to put it up, but now flushed out of the pocket, trying to reset, and Stahl's in trouble, and he's going to go down back around the 10-yard line. Right-handed quarterback rolling out to his right and tried to get enough room to set up to throw the ball. I'm sorry, right-handed quarterback rolling out to his left and trying to get set up to throw the ball and never could get that position set the way he wanted. 8-yard loss on the sack. Under 2 minutes to play, third quarter, WJ leading 41-7, but from a president's standpoint, the game has devolved here a little bit, and Teal will use the timeout. Last check-in at Cleveland, the other game still being played in the PAC tonight. Case Western, 51-6, lead up on, make it 58-6 now early in the third, leading Bethany. Carnegie Mellon is 2-0. Case would go to 2-0. W&J, if they're able to hold on, would go to 2-0. Westminster at 1-0. Grove City, who's off today, also at 1-0. President's next week at Waynesburg. President's football preview airs at 12:30 Saturday afternoon on the WJPA Sports Network. Meanwhile, Teal will play on the road for the first time, traveling next Saturday night to Beaver Falls to play at Geneva. for returning home here with Westminster for homecoming on the 28th, 3 o'clock kickoff. Third and goal at the 10 for the Presidents. Patricic in the backfield beside Kellen Stahl. Patricic stays home to protect. Stahl pulls it down, rolls to his right. Shrugs a man pass, throws in the back of the end zone, and the pass is dropped. And then a flag is down near the 10-yard line. McCosco is the intended receiver.
McCosco, there is a flag on the play. The
question here is this flag, the President's getting somebody downfielded. Is that about the 9-yard line? Twice tonight, WJ's been flagged for an eligible man downfield. Referee, linesman near side talking it over. It is roughing the passer. And that's an automatic first down, roughing the passer. Both teams huddling around their coaches. Did not see a timeout indication, but Ward shows each team has used a timeout. Teal used one earlier, and now apparently WJ uses one here because Teal used one before the roughing penalty. May have been Luke Faber, who's really played an outstanding game, but may have gone high against Stahl and give the President the down back, 5 yards, and a new set of downs now. First and goal at the 5. Surprised if we don't see power run here for the Presidents now. Kellen Stahl trying to stay with Patricic and gets ridden down just shy of the line of scrimmage.
Kellen Stahl, the ball carrier.
Stahl pulled down. Lost of a yard on the play. It's second and goal. An area for the last 12 or 15 years, just a guesstimate on time there, that Presidents have really struggled in and goal situations. Went to that jumbo package a couple of years ago, had some success out of it, but now have the two leading blockers, and it will be Patricic. No, it won't. Stahl fakes, dumps the ball off, and it's too tall for his tight end, Raymond Holmes, incomplete. Third and goal coming up at the 6. Kellen Stahl, 0 for 4 with an interception, pick 6. It's coming on in relief, Jacob Pugh. Third down and goal with the Teal, 6-yard line. Stahl throws the ball, man, wide open. It's Cernuto, and he makes the catch for the touchdown. Somehow Cernuto got left all alone, and all Stahl had to do was get the ball to him, and when he did that, touchdown on the board. Cernuto's second TD of the year, both tonight, his third catch tonight, two of them in the end zone. 103 to play, third quarter. WJ up 47-7 at the moment. Ricky Hunter's extra point kick finds its way onto the 10th and good. WJ 48, Teal 7, kickoff, WJPA Sports Network when we come right back.
For 125 years, Washington Financial has been covering this region's financial needs, sharing your rebellious spirit, standing right here with you, supporting your dreams, helping businesses grow and thrive, investing in what matters, and always putting people first. Thank you for letting us get to know you over our first 125 years. We're Washington Financial, and we're proud to be the bank that gets you. Learn more at washfin.bank. Washington Financial Bank, member FDIC.
Touchdown, Steelers!
The Steelers take their 1-0 record to Denver this week to face the Broncos. Hear Steelers football on 1450 AM WJPA. Airtime is 2:25. Kickoff is 4:25. Tune in as the Steelers try to start the season with back-to-back road wins. We're your home for Steelers football all season long. Steelers Broncos this week with pregame coverage starting at 2:25 on 1450 AM WJPA. Your station for the Steelers and the National Football League.
Liam Campbell back to kick off for the Presidents, and quickly Marquise Tarver with the wave of the right hand indicating a fair catch. The Teal will get the ball at the 25-yard line. So had Devin Boss back deep to receive there, taking the spot of Javier White. Devin Boss, freshman out of Niles, Ohio. WJ apparently offside on the kickoff, so going to bring the kickoff out to the 30, or the fair catch out to the 30-yard line because of WJ being offside. Tarver in the game to run now. Robert Doyle quarterbacking most of this second half. Tarver gets the call and runs over the right guard center, gets only about a yard on the play. Tarver, three carries a week ago against Carnegie Mellon, picked up just a yard, gets one here on his first run of the night. ...40 seconds to play, third quarter. WJ, a couple of really nice stops defensively in that first half after bending a little bit and took control of the ball game in that second quarter. Tarver takes the handoff, running right side, going to work forward for maybe three, almost four. Tarver out to the 34-yard line. That would appear the walk of the Tomcats, and they're not going to rush to the line of scrimmage and try to run off another play. So we've played three quarters, WJ 48, Teal 7, fourth quarter. When we come back here on the WJPA Sports Network.
From Evergreen Personal Care Homes, here's Nicholas Hall.
Typically, it's the resident's son or daughter that start the process. They may come to us and they may take a tour by themselves first before mom and dad knows. That's a very intricate transition, as you know, moving your loved one from their house to a personal care home. We treat everyone like family. We have caregivers who take care of the frontline bathing and hygiene, med techs who pass the medications, and we have supervisors that oversee both of those areas, as well as a resident coordinator and a chef in each building. It's nice to have a small to mid-sized facility, and all that equates to taking care of your loved one and making sure they get what they need. The easiest way to get a question to us is on our website, evergreenassisted.com. You can look at pictures from each location. You can read real-life testimonials, and the contact numbers are on the website, evergreenassisted.com.
Third quarter set offensive football back about 100 years. W&J with 20 yards total offense in the quarter, including minus 9 rushing. And Teal with a net of minus 6 yards total offense in the quarter. Pass play, Doyle overthrows, and to get rid of it in a hurry. Stone broke the pattern off underneath, and Doyle's pass went up the sideline. He's complete, and that will bring up fourth down. WJ, 65 yards rush, 286 pass, 351 total through three quarters. Again, just 20 yards in that third period. Teal minus 6 on the ground. I need to fix my passing numbers, and I'll get you a correction there here in just a minute. 62 passing, so 0 net yards for Teal in the third. Punt is away, and it bounces back toward the numbers. Rosati was coming in chase, but will not get there, and the ball will be touched down at about the 35-yard line.
The
Teal with a net 0 total offense in that third quarter, and WJ 20 yards total. Punt. Ball will go over on downs. 14:48 to play, and certainly WJ would put a little polish on their offensive performance. Very comfortable halftime situation, but not looked all that good here since the break. Didn't get a touchdown, but have given up some of those yards. Stahl rolls to the right, and now Stahl will keep across the 40, 45, and steps out of bounds on the far side. Looks to be in position to get a first down. Eleven-yard run for Kellen Stahl, 5'11", 195-pound junior out of Pine Richland. Second down and 10, screen pass to the right side is caught. Good for a couple of yards. Jensen Perkovich, the junior out of Joppa, Maryland, with the reception.
Second down and 7. Timeout for the second play.
Kevin Ratchford will check in. And new player coming off. Going to be Amon Joyner coming out, defensive lineman. Oh, there, actually, there's another defensive back hobbling to the near sideline, reaching back, grabbing the back of the hamstring, and just hope that is a cramp and cramp only, because it's Tim Hill out of Claymont, Delaware. Second down and 7. A little high snap. Patrice. Nope. Check that. Ball carrier is Mulvaney. And he'll pick up about 4 to the 47. Well, make it 46. Give him 5.
He's up third down and 2.
They're down at about 2. Stahl on the option pitch. Running back puts a foot in the ground and works his way back toward the middle of the field and picks up a first down. And that is going to be Mulvaney again. 26 first downs for the Presidents tonight. This went to the 43-yard line. Maney with runs of 5 and 3 yards. Whatever that microphone issue that was troublesome in the first half has returned. And now flags will blow the play dead. Offensive lineman called for a false start. Take the ball back out to the 48. 6 penalties on the Presidents, and all of them on the offense, including the unsportsmanlike conduct after the interception return. First and 15. Stahl hands it off. Running play to the right side. This is Barca. And Barca going to pick up about 10 yards on the run.
Barca, the ball carrier.
Don Barca, 5'10", junior, 200-pounder out of Norwin. Barca going to get down to about the 39, so he'll get 9. And I'm going to do what I did earlier in the game and turn down our outside mic. She's here, figured out what that was in the first half. Figure it again, flag down right at the snap of the football, and ball start against the Presidents. And so much for the put a little polish on the offense here. WJ, 3 minutes into this fourth quarter, having struggles. So now second down and 11, ball out to the Teal 44. To the near side, Evans, handoff right side, it's Barca, bounces further out, got off contact behind the line, and now a flag goes down. I'm thinking Roberto Smith might get flagged for holding Barca, the ball carrier. Personal foul, actually, is the first indication. So it's going to be Barca's carry plus 15. Barca got 5. And then the personal foul moves the sticks. Ball should be at the 24-yard line. First and 10, W&J. 11 and a half minutes remaining in the ball game. Stahl steps away from pressure, now trying to run away from it. Gets grabbed from behind and dragged down. Ends up with a gain of about a yard. Will get to the 23. So Stahl trying to run away from that pressure. Roberto Smith, again in the game for the present, in that Cernuto-type position, right behind the left tackle. Running play. Still working forward, going to get inside the 20, but not going to get credit for that. A whistle blowing, but the running back had not been stopped yet. That's Andrew Sharp, 210-pound freshman out of Baldwin. Sharp going to get credit only to the 21. It'll be third down and 7 there. Stahl for 1, Sharp for 2. Play fake, Stahl turn, and there's nobody home, and Stahl's going to keep it. Stiff arm to get inside the 15, and he goes to the boundary at the 13-yard line. That's close to a first, well, out at the 14. That's going to be ruled a first down. Needed 7, got 7. Stiff arm helped him do that. President's quarterbacks have 34 rushing yards on 9 carries. Clock turning, 9.5 minutes remaining. Mulvaney back in the running back position. First and 10 at the 14. Blitz against the run coming. Mulvaney takes the handoff, and the pile moves backwards for a couple of yards. 10 plays on this possession for the President. President's ground and pound now, keeping the clock running. Smith motions to twins left and right, pass play to the near side. Ball is caught, and now play inside the 10, down to about the 6 on the reception. I believe T.J. Lynn. Go with Lynn there. Down at the 6, picked up 6, 3rd and 2. Second catch of the year for Lynn. Smith motions to Trips right, now resets behind the right tackle. Mulvaney on a fake by Stahl. They find Smith open in the corner, front corner of the end zone for the touchdown. Stahl to Roberto Smith. 6-yard touchdown pass. Great fake there by Stahl. His second touchdown pass of the night. Ricky Hunter to kick with 8:11 to play in the fourth quarter. Kick up and good. 8:11 to play, WJ 55, Teal 7, kickoff on the WJPA Sports Network when we come right back.
Hi, this is Attorney John Patricic, and I've been your hometown attorney for nearly 30 years. Whether it be family law, the preparation of wills and powers of attorney, or the administration of an estate, I'm ready to assist you. I also represent clients on real estate matters including oil and gas, local government issues, contract disputes, and civil litigation including personal injury. If you're looking for an experienced attorney, I have offices in Bentleyville and Washington. Call 724-239-2330 for a free consultation. Go Presidents.
From opening night to Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans, don't miss a second of the NFL this season. Hi, this is Kurt Warner of Westwood One. Join our crew each week for the best in primetime NFL action. Monday night, Sunday night, and Thursday night football, plus marquee games on Thanksgiving, Black Friday, Christmas, and more. Westwood One is the exclusive radio home for every primetime and postseason game. It's right here.
On WJPA, AM 1450, your home for the NFL.
Jason Michaelonis to kick off for WJ. Presidents with 55 points, ninth straight time meeting between these two. The Presidents have gone 50-plus. Fair catch indicated and made by Tarver. Teal will again take over at the 25-yard line. Teal does not have a first down in this second half. Had one on the first play of the second quarter and have not had one since. And yet, they have a score. And that was the defensive short pick six by Luke Faber. First and 10 from the 25. Running play going wide left, and that is dragged down just across the line of scrimmage. Tanner Rennie, the carrier. Looks like Jalen Broxy, the junior out of Moon, will get the tackle. 1 yard gain for Tanner Rennie. He has 2 yards net on 4 rushes tonight. Second and 9 for the Tomcats. Doyle running the option, and he gets grabbed before he can even set up a fake and dropped at the 23. Loses 3 yards. Third and a dozen for Teal. 7:05 and counting remaining in the game. DJ scored less than 2 minutes in. Then added touchdowns on 4 consecutive possessions late in the first half. Doyle on his back foot gets the ball off. Pass is caught and a tackle made immediately. The reception by Acosta, and he may not get anything. Acosta's last 4 catches, -6, -1, -8, and 0. No gain on that reception, and it's punt formation. Zach Smith to punt once again. I believe this will be his 7th punt of the night. There's whistle right at the snap of the football. And false start against Teal. Seven penalties for 55 yards. Smith punts have been 27 yards. Blocked 30, 27, 29, and 31. Six punts so far. Number seven is due. Smith gets a good snap and gets a wobbly end-over-end kick away, and a fair catch made at the 44-yard line of Teal. And Joey DiSabato out of Shaler with the grab. ...27-yard punt and no return. So 5:46 to play in the ball game. WJ will take over again in great field position, the Teal 45. Looking to wrap this one up, 55-7. Running play coming up the middle. Quarterback for the Presidents, and the run is going to pick up about 3 yards. Marka going to get credit for three. Campbell Pivnik is the quarterback, a 6'1 sophomore out of Roseland, New Jersey. Second and seven. Running play. Carry for Barca once again. Going to get to about the 39. Three more yards. Third and about four at the 39-yard line. 4:45 to play in the ball game. Deep on the roster now. Third quarterback of the night. Third and four. Pivnik does a 360, left-hander sets and throws on a deep post. Ball is caught inside the 10, and the stop made there. The catch by T.J. Lynn, and Lynn down at the 4-yard line. Pivnik to Lynn for 35. Presidents will, as we saw a week ago, line up in the field goal formation here with this first down now. Ricky Hunter to attempt a 21-yard field goal. Set up over the rush, and the kick is good. 3:50 to play. Check that, 3:49 to play in the ball game. WJ 58, Teal 7. Kickoff here on the WJPA Sports Network when we come right back.
For 125 years, Washington Financial has been covering this region's financial needs, sharing your rebellious spirit, standing right here with you, supporting your dreams, helping businesses grow and thrive, investing in what matters, and always putting people first. Thank you for letting us get to know you over our first 125 years. We're Washington Financial, and we're proud to be the bank that gets you. Learn more at washfin.bank. Washington Financial Bank, member FDIC.
Sexual violence does not discriminate based on race, gender, orientation, age, or ability. Are you a survivor of sexual violence? Counseling and advocacy services are available at no cost to you through the Care Center STARS program. Sexual assault is not your fault, and you don't have to go through this experience alone. Please contact the STARS program at 724-229-5007. That's 724-229-5007.
WJ leads here. Case Western at home, up 61-6 on Bethany. Kickoff is taken, bobbled, dropped, picked up at about the 18-yard line and the return out to about the 28. And Tarver on the run back, ball hit him in the chest, hopped straight up in the air. He was went to a knee, got up off the knee, and picked up the ball and got it out to about the 28. Presidents, with after getting that first and goal situation, brought the field goal unit, did that a week ago, not wanting to, you know, kneel it down, and you know, that it, to some is insulting. New in vogue thing, I guess, is to kick the field goal and give the ball back to the losing team's offense. Running play for Javier White. First carry of the night. Going to get out for a couple of yards to the 30. Tomcats huddling and in no hurry to break that. Come to the line of scrimmage. They realize what is. Lost a week ago to Carnegie Mellon by a 58-0 score. Down 58-7 here late tonight. Doyle in the shotgun. Hands it off. White just got the handoff, and the president's front wall got White. Dropped him for a loss of 4. Clock will be down to about 2:15 or thereabouts before the Tomcats have to snap it. I have Teal at the moment with 4 yards net rushing tonight. Third down and a dozen. Doyle gets rid of it. Pass is caught. And the play going to be stopped 2 yards short of the first down. The ball out to about the 36-yard line. On the catch by Adam Krius. Ball at the 36, so that's a 10-yard pass play. And now with 2 minutes to play, the new rule this year, we get the 2-minute timeout. So we'll keep it. We'll go ahead and Jacob, we'll go ahead and take that one that we need to take there. We'll be back here to Teal to wrap up here in just a minute.
From Evergreen Personal Care Homes, here's Nicholas Hall.
We have 3 wonderful locations, one in Waynesburg, one in Washington, and we have one in Morgantown, West Virginia. It's nice to go somewhere where you may know somebody. Staff's local, they don't have to drive far. It's all teamwork oriented. We work in shifts. We like to have fun, and we make sure people are well taken care of. We're one of the only fully staffed, above staffed personal care homes in the state. The biggest reason that we like to be above staffed is we like to make sure that your loved one's taken care of. Our average experienced staff has at least 15 years of experience. So you're coming to Evergreen to see a fully staffed team and a lot of expertise. The easiest way to get a question to us is on our website, evergreenassisted.com. You can look at pictures from each location. You can read real-life testimonials, and the contact numbers are on the website, evergreenassisted.com.
After the 2-minute timeout, Tomcats punt the ball away, and the presidents do not send anyone back deep to receive, and Zach Smith's kick all the way down to the WJ 21-yard line. That's a 43-yard punt and roll. There is a flag in the midfield area, though. Ball down at the president's 21. Blindside block on the kicking team. There's a situation you rarely see. It's usually the receiving team getting blindsided. Or it's the kicking team getting blindsided by the receiving team. But 43-yard punt, but a penalty on the end of that. So 8 penalties for 70 yards against Teal. WJ will take over and with just a minute 49. They look to kneel this down. Ball at the 36-yard line. Running play coming up the middle, and oh no, breaking to the corner. One man left to beat, and stumbling down inside the 25. President bust off a huge run, just a straight up the middle play. Andrew Sharp takes this to the Teal 22-yard line. 42 yards on the run by Sharp. First and 10 at the 22, and running play straight up the middle again, and going to be tackled inside the 20 for a gain of a couple. It looks like Sean Curry, the ball carrier out of Our Lady of the Sacred Heart, on the TO 18 after Curry's run for four. The President has to snap the ball one more time. Game clock get down to about 40 seconds before they do that. This should be the last play. Curry takes the handoff, running right, trying to get with blockers, and Curry's going to get inside the 10-yard line. That is first down number 30 for the President unofficially. Ball at the 9. Curry's 9-yard run, and the Presidents are going to walk it off and not snap the ball again. And that's the right thing to do. We'll get you a quick recap and check some total numbers for you when we come back. Final score, WJ 58, Teal 7 here on the WJPA Sports Network.
Volunteers are an essential part of the team.
Gateway Hospice Volunteer Coordinator Suzanne Ferguson.
For every hospice, volunteers are absolutely crucial. Medicare requires for every hour of patient care that we give, we have to match that with 5% in volunteer work. Volunteers do both indirect services, coming into the office and helping filing or printing or, you know, working on the various databases, and direct patient services. Things like bedside companions. A hospice volunteer would come in and just be there to hold the person's hand if that's what they need, sit in silence if that's what they need. They can read, they can pray, they can listen to music. If the patient is able to get up and move around, they might take a walk, things like that. It's totally about the patient.
Call Gateway Hospice, 412-536-2020.
Teal Tomcats last got a first down on the first play of the second quarter, and the game ends without them getting another one. W&J rolling late in that first half. Went into that second quarter with a 7-0 lead, and they ended the period up 34-0. They end the ball game with a 58-7 win here in Greenville tonight. Just going to give you a couple of notes. Kobe DeRosa with a couple of rushing touchdowns tonight. Zach Cernuto with a couple of receiving touchdowns. And the President with 6 touchdown passes. Jacob Pugh with 4. Pugh unofficially 24 of 32 for 280 yards and 4 touchdowns. Kellen Stahl, I have at 4 of 8 for 21 yards, 2 touchdowns, also threw an interception that was returned for a score, the only point the Tomcats got tonight. WJ defense unofficially holding Teal to 4 yards rushing tonight and to 76 yards total offense. WJ, meanwhile, rolling up more than 340 passing yards is what is listed, though I'm a little shy of that number. I have Pugh with 280, and I forgot Pivnik, who had 35, so my apologies. Yeah, President with 336 passing yards and 507 total, outgaining Peel by 430-some yards tonight. A dominating performance, and the defense just really slamming the door. The President officially with 33 first downs tonight, eclipsing the 31 that they had a week ago against St. Vincent. Well, here's where we look ahead for the President. It's at Waynesburg next Saturday, 12:30 airtime for President's Football Preview. Kickoff at John F. Wiley Stadium in Waynesburg, set for 1 o'clock. For the Tomcats, it's on the road for the first time this year. They'll play next Saturday night, 7 o'clock kickoff at Reeves Field in Beaver Falls against the Geneva Golden Tornadoes. Check and see if the Case Western Bethany game has gone final. It has not as of yet. Case Western leading Bethany 64-6 with about 5 minutes to go in their third quarter. Other finals today, Carnegie Mellon over Geneva 41-7, Westminster 23-10 over Waynesburg, St. Vincent 41, Allegheny 20, Grove City was off, and W&J with the victory here tonight against the Teal Tomcats at 58-7. Jacob Knisner, our producer in our downtown Washington studios, with a big thank you to Evergreen Personal Care Homes in Washington, Waynesburg, and Morgantown, evergreenassisted.com for all your questions and contact info for Evergreen Personal Care Homes. Washington Financial Bank, for 125 years, proud to be the bank that gets you. And attorney John Patricic, nearly 30 years of experience, gives your case the attention it deserves. Steeler football coming your way tomorrow, airtime 2:25, Steelers at Denver. And then, the Sunday night game as well, and then the Steelers hope to be 0-2, or 2-0 when the action all wraps up late tomorrow afternoon, early tomorrow evening in the Mile High City. Big thanks to all the folks here at the Teal for the accommodations, and to our guests on President's Football Preview for their help as well today. That'll do it from Greenville and Teal College. For all of us at the WJPA Sports Network, I'm Bob Gregg. Thanks so much for being with us. Your final score, Washington and Jefferson 58, Teal 7.